The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is... Hi, my name is...
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is...
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is...
Paul Perillo.
The show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show. None can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart. Sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
My name is The show is
PFW in Progress.
And Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. Another wintry day here in Foxborough, but that's okay. Again, we won the Super Bowl, so it doesn't matter. But today's a big day, a big news day for the league and for the Patriots.
Yeah, Tyler Ott re-signs.
Yeah, Peyton Manning taking a pay cut. Well, we'll talk about all that, but I've been in meetings all morning. So you guys have to fill me in on this whole Vince Wilfork thing. I do have the statement here that Vince put out.
He broke the news.
Yeah. If you want, I could read it. But
that's basically the beginning and end of the news. He broke it. Like, Eric's right. He broke it all.
Yeah.
He explains what happened. He was informed on Tuesday by the team that they would not be picking up his $4 million roster bonus.
And you guys, we were just talking before we went live that you think that's it.
Yes.
He's not coming back.
Yeah, when you do something like this,
but
I would say this, Fred.
I read this, and this is not fun. You know, this
oh,
is
yes,
not,
it is.
I would say that the door is not locked, but it is closed.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think the key is in the lock, and it's being turned to.
Obviously, the key is what other teams will offer him.
But why wouldn't you just restructure?
Maybe, what do you mean?
If there's a chance that he were coming back, I don't think he would put out a statement like that saying, man, it's been a great run, I love it here, I'm always going to be here. You don't do that if you have any intention
of re-signing or restructuring. The Patriots owe him a bonus, which if they play him, then he's under contract for 2015, right?
Correct.
They pick up the bonus.
And his cap number was somewhere around $9 million.
Yeah, the Patriots informed him they're not picking up this bonus. Okay,
right.
So then the question is, did they ask him to restructure?
And I don't think so. Just from afar, I think they did it last year. It worked, and I think they probably thanked him for his service.
Yeah, I'm less sure of that. I'm with Andy. That's how I think it went down, but I don't know. And the fact that he's putting this out there today and says that they told him on Tuesday could possibly lend you to believe that maybe they spent the last day and a half or so talking about just what you're saying.
Well, should I read the statement?
Yes. Yeah, why don't you read the statement and let all the listeners that don't know.
And read it properly, please.
What's that?
Read it properly.
Read it properly?
Not in general Fred Kirsch reading.
Oh, I thought you wanted him to read it like Vince.
Oh, no, that would be offensive.
Suck on it.
speaking of reading it like Vince.
That's not part of the statement, by the way.
Right. Point blank, this is what he said. Morning, guys. Please read below. This will be my only statement, he says.
That's
I want to
tweeted,
take this time to just let everyone know that I was informed on Tuesday that the Patriots will not be picking up my option. I'm in a good place. I have a great relationship with the Patriots organization. Please know how blessed my family and I have been to play 11 years in New England for an amazing organization. The love you guys as fans have shown me has been an inspiration year in and year out. Your message, your stories, your conversations in support have always touched my heart. New England has been and always will be my home. I've played 11 years for the greatest head coach ever. I played next to men that I have as brothers for a lifetime, a first-class organization. I came back from a season-ending injury when most doubted me and then won the Super Bowl in my comeback year. New England has been great to me and my family. Can I still play football? Hell yeah. Do I still love football? Hell yeah. One thing for sure is I will always be a fixture in New England forever. This will always be my home. I won a Super Bowl my rookie year. I won one this year. 11 years with one great organization, 11 years married to the love of my life, three beautiful, healthy kids, one major injury, lots of gas still left in the tank. All I can say is I'm blessed, I'm thankful, I'm grateful. I will take my time, think things through, take into consideration many things, but mainly my family, and see where life goes from here. But regardless, remember, I will always remain a New Englander and a patriot forever. So...
Yeah, that to me says I'm done.
See, not to me.
Not done with football, but done as a patriot.
Okay, yeah. And I'll tell you who else took it that way is all his teammates who are tweeting him.
Yeah. But every time, every time
Dominic Easley, I saw
Josh Boyce, come to this crossroads,
Drew.
He's always done the drama thing.
Yeah, but never like this.
See, not like this.
Not like this.
I have the same exact opinion, only I have a different interpretation. He always goes double barrel guns blazing.
No this fight
could
this
not
time.
Be. This could not have been more classy. This could not have been more team oriented. This to me is.
It's been
a great run, and I appreciate everything you guys have done for me.
It's also like you can also read into it, like one of you just said about the player reaction during the season when a guy has an injury, and it looks bad. You know he's done for the season when teammates are commenting immediately after the game. Man, it's a really tough break for him on this team. When players do that means the guy's done for the year.
Okay.
When players' teammates send out tweets in reaction to Vince saying, man, it was great playing with you, using the past tense, going to the lengths of actually responding that way, he's done. He's not coming back.
I think they're just reacting to this.
He's not coming back, Fred.
But the thing about it is...
as Channel 7 has, end of an era.
It could be this time that his agent said, you know what, Vince, no more of this restructuring stuff. You know, in taking this hometown discount. This is it for you. This is your last contract. So let's go out and get as much as possible.
Yeah,
well,
he's done
with
New England.
He didn't rule out retirement either.
No.
Right.
He did not rule that out
either.
He
didn't rule out
but
retirement.
But he's done here.
Right.
He's not playing here again.
I think he'll be with the Houston Texans before you can blink.
There's a lot of good teams. Miami, you know, he's played from college down there. I think he's a run-stuffing defensive lineman. Miami's run defense was terrible last year. There's a lot of different places he could go. Again, I'm not going to eliminate the possibility that everybody's offering him, you know, close to veteran minimum. Everybody's offering him, you know, $1.5 million. So then he says, well, if I'm not going to make any money, I might as well stay. And let's see if they want me at the minimum. That's why I say the door is not completely locked. I think there's a less than 10% chance of that.
Darnell Dockett got $2 million to sign.
Yeah,
and so, he's younger and as good or better than Darnell Dockett, his resume.
All of that's true, but I also look at what he said in that statement is, I'm going to talk things over. I'm paraphrasing now, but I'm going to talk things over with my family, take a few days to think about it.
That means there's Bianca what he's going to do.
Well, there's a possibility he says, you know what, we're lucky we lasted 11 years and that one injury. I'm done.
Oh, no, there's no doubt he left the door open
for
Andy
said that.
No doubt.
Definite
I think he's going to play.
Well, I think he's going to play, too.
I think he'll play.
I think he should.
I think there's at least a half dozen or more teams that would make a ton of sense for him.
But, I mean, like, if he goes to other teams and they say, yeah, we're not going to pay you a lot of money, veteran minimum kind of thing, and he already knows the door is closed here,
there's no chance.
I'm done.
I mean, I think there is less than 0% chance.
Why does he know that the door is closed here?
Because they told him on Tuesday, and he waited until Thursday to tweet it. That leads, like Paul said, us to believe maybe they've been talking.
I think there would be a price the Patriots would bring him back. It's a very low price.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any chance that that's all he would get. To Andy's point, he thinks someone is going to give him, say, $3 million. And I don't think there's any chance the Patriots would be willing to
pay him that much. He will get a multi-year deal worth more than $3 million a year. With guaranteed money up front, with a signing bonus.
And you know what? Good for him.
Right.
He should take it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he could go to a place where he's happy, too. I mean, Romeo and Vrabel and those guys, Bill O'Brien in Houston, where he's going to play with, I don't know, J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. He might get blocked less than he's ever been blocked.
I think the answer is no, but I'll ask the question. Any of you surprised?
No.
No.
And
you're not either.
No, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. It was the easiest decision to make.
Wow.
Aside from emotion, but like just going on paper,
I'm a little
easy.
Surprised that there's not more information about talking about restructuring. Like that, you know, and maybe there was.
That's to Andy's point.
Yeah.
I don't think Andy feels like, sometimes you just you make your statements with what you don't say.
Right. And the fact that he went out of his way to say in the beginning, this is the only time I'm going to talk about it. I mean, knowing him, he'll probably talk about it again at some point.
Knowing him, he'll be on Comcast Sportsnet tonight.
But
it's one of the funniest things you've ever said.
But the fact that he came out first and said, I'm not going to talk about it anymore, also leads me to believe that maybe there were discussions and he doesn't want to get into that when anybody brings it up. Because that's going to be something, if he starts talking about it, an obvious question that's going to be asked is, did you try to talk to the team about restructuring?
I think he's going to be honest with what he said, and I think the next time he'll talk, he'll be
on another team.
The Dolphins.
And I honestly, I'm sure we'll get into this.
Jets.
This is exactly the right thing for
point
the Patriots
blank.
To do.
That'd be a good one, point blank.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I mean, they kind of, yeah. I mean, he's a big, like you said, what, $9 million if they picked up the option?
Just under.
Yeah, it would have been a $4 million bonus. I think his salary was somewhere around $3 million. He had some bonus, you know, some workout
likely
bonuses and things.
Say, you shaved
some
$8
million. Incentives. I think his cap number was somewhere like 8.9 and change if he came back under the existing contract.
Let's get the exact numbers, because on the phone right now is Miguel from PatsCap.com. Miguel, are you surprised with the move in Wilfork, and what does this mean to the Patriots cap?
No, I've been saying on my Twitter feed and on Pats fans message board that and I had written a blog saying in my off season plan for the Patriots that I love Vince, but like Andy said, it makes too much sense to let him go. And I could as talking about restructuring him. The problem was he made all of his incentives last year.
Oh.
So there ain't that many incentives that he could make.
Because
they're not likely to be earned. But, you know.
So all his incentives would probably count toward the cap.
Right. So there's no way he could lower his incentives. I mean, you're not going to say, I'm going to pay you $5 million bonus if you hit 10 sacks. No one's going to think that he could reach that. That's not fair to the defensive tackle.
Right. And they can't even say if we make the Super Bowl, because they did last year. Like Peyton Manning's contract. Mm. Yeah.
Exactly. So, like, the question was, you were just talking about what his cap number was. His cap number was $8,933,300.
Yeah, so just about $9 million, right?
Yeah, about
Miguel
$9 million.
Likes to be exact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I do. All right. His cap number is going to drop down to $866,000. You know, we're going to save about $7.5 million on the cap because somebody with a $510,000 salary would take his place on the top 51 list. And right now, I got the Patriots about $4.4 million over the cap right now, even after this move, and including, you know, Gronkowski's tag. So that's where I stand. That only frees up cap space this year. It also frees up cap space next year.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, Miguel. Anything else you want to add?
Why don't you, Miguel, let me ask you this. Give me, because I think we were all in agreement, and I know you had mentioned it before with us even about Vince. No one's surprised there, but give me a couple others that you think will happen. We've talked a lot about guys like Mayo and some different guys. Give me maybe one or two other moves you think the Patriots probably will make to help with the cap situation.
I think Hooman is dead man. He's dead man walking. He's going to get a $300,000 roster bonus like in March 12th. I just don't – he's an easy way to get cut. He's an easy way to free up some money. I would not be surprised if they go to Alfonso Dennett and say that Alfonso, you're scheduled to get a $1.5 million salary. We don't think you're worth it. If you want to stay on the team, you have to take a pay cut.
But that's not really big numbers.
That's a lot of little ones. That's bookkeeping.
Add up.
The big numbers is Revis.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Obviously, that's gonna get you well below, because that's, you know, $25 million, right? So that's
cap number is $25 million. You reach a long term deal with him.
Save at least 10, right?
Make his cap number 15 when you're including the $5 million proration from last year's bonus.
Exactly.
You save $10 million on the cap.
Okay.
What's $10 million between friends?
How about, before we let Miguel go, let me throw one guy out there. Andy and I have been seeing a lot of the local writers tweeting and talking a lot about Browner now.
Yeah.
$2 million option roster bonus for him. You think that's a place that they might look?
If they let go of Revis, yeah. But what you could do with Browner is structure his deal so you give him to convert his roster bonus from salary and extend him and you lower his salary. Is he, the question is he worth, he's going to get due if he makes all his incentives about $12 million in cash the next 2 years. Is he worth, is he a $12 million, is he a $6 million cornerback? In my opinion, that's for a number two cornerback, that's a fair price.
Yeah. I mean, you have Arrington as a $4.5 million third cornerback, so if you're using sort of your own comp,
seems high to me.
The number two should get a little more than the number three.
Right.
And one other question. Do you now, they're about, $4.5 million over the cap right now,
right,
as it stands?
Yeah.
Would it be feasible to get a deal with Revis done before Tuesday that gets them under the cap without having to make any more moves with other guys?
Oh, yeah.
No matter what, they have to make moves to get under the cap. He is the biggest way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You could, I don't remember the year, but remember there was a year when Peyton Manning had a franchise tag number on him. All right, so he went. They when the Colts went into the free agency, and they didn't make any moves until they lowered his reached a long term deal with him. The problem if they do that with Revis, then you have to make a lot of little moves like who man to nod to get underneath the cap. And then you really can't take place, can't be active in free agency.
Right.
Right.
All right.
Gotcha.
Good stuff.
All right, Miguel, thanks a lot. You're doing great work.
Get back to your real job.
Thank you for your service.
Contributor.
All right. I got
to eat.
All right. PFW in progress contributor.
Miguel. Join Miguel. The club. We know how you feel.
Yeah, he's become a great resource for us. And
well, and all
and everybody else.
Yeah.
Pat's fans.
I mean, he's been doing it for a long time.
He has. It, really long time.
And I would tell people, go to his PatsFans.com and PatsCap.com. Read his blog entries. Read his – I mean, as simple as just the one sheet that has everybody gives you a look at where guys fall.
That's a good snapshot.
Numbers and,
and then the blogs are good for details kind of, for
– deeper dive kind of.
Exactly.
As they like to say.
So, all right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Is the Ace Ticket Hotline, your reaction to Vince Wilfork and what the Patriots' move should be. We also want to talk about some of the other NFL news, and there was some big news in Denver. Peyton Manning but Peyton Manning taking a $4 million pay cut. He can earn that back, $2 million if they get to the Super Bowl. He can earn it all back if they win the Super Bowl.
So he's not getting it.
who got the better deal there, John Elway or Peyton Manning? Who made out there?
Well, Elway, they got
$4
million in cap space.
And I don't think, and I was kind of joking, but I don't think he's going to get it.
But even if he,
does,
the Broncos still
Elway
got the
still exactly yeah. right. Elway still
he holds
wins
up a trophy.
Exactly.
Goes,
this one's for me.
Right. Yeah. No. I mean, a lot of people were sort of expecting that he was going to get a pay cut, but I was kind of wondering if they would actually do it, if he would actually accept it. And to his credit, he did.
Yeah. I mean, and unlike what Brady has done, and look, this is not a slight on Brady. This is a true pay cut.
Yes.
Brady really didn't take a pay cut.
Brady's always gotten
and
more
I was,
money.
I was laughing because I was listening yesterday as I was driving home, and the EEI guys were just killing Manning. And they had to start off by killing Mortensen, because now you know that Chris Mortensen is the most incompetent reporter out there because of the 11 deflated balls.
That's true.
I guess Chris Mortensen tweeted out that Peyton Manning had taken a $4 million pay cut and didn't include initially the part about the possibility of reclaiming that money through incentives. So Dale Arnold is just all over Mortensen. Now, keep in mind, this is the same guy who reported that there are 11 balls that were deflated, as if that has been debunked officially.
Right.
Like, who knows if he was right or not. And then he was saying, Jason LaConfora says, oh, now this makes sense now. Peyton Manning took a $4 million pay cut, and this is exactly how he's reading
right.
it. Peyton Manning took a $4 million pay cut, but has the ability to make that back in
incentives. This is not a likely-to-be-earned incentive.
Well, it doesn't matter, likely or not likely. He took $4 million less than he was owed.
Right.
He didn't have to say yes.
That's true.
He took a pay cut.
It was a concession on the part of Manning.
Pay cuts, yeah. True pay cuts, are pretty rare.
They are rare. And I would
especially for guys at that level.
I would have loved to have been, you know, a fly in the wall in this meeting, because I wonder if Elway, you know, basically said,
ultimatum?
Yeah, this is it.
I think you might be right.
Yeah. You know, and
but I laughed, and I was saying to Andy.
It's the first time anyone's ever said that to Peyton Manning.
I said to Andy.
He's at that point in his career where
I get it, but it's still, you know.
Do you remember last year during the season, it was one of those Peter King-isms, I think it was in Peter King, where, you know, I texted Peyton, you know, one of those deals.
Could have been Michael Silver.
It might have been. And I was talking to Andy about this yesterday. There was a brief thing that, I think it's Tom Condon was his agent, but I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. Peyton told his agent, whatever Tom, you know, when he was signing with Denver, whatever Tom is getting, I don't care what it is, just whatever Tom is getting, the same is fine. And then he ended up, you know, obviously well above what Tom ended up with. And everybody sort of laughed at that. I laughed at it, too, because if he really didn't care, I don't think he would have been making $19 million. I don't think he would have been making that much. And I was sort of curious how full of poop he was. Like, if he was refusing to take a pay cut at all, then you can totally see this is total fraud, Peyton Manning. Mm. I'm telling everybody publicly, I was willing to accept whatever they were giving Tom, and they just gave me the $19 million. So I said, all right.
Right.
Well, so now it's probably somewhere in the middle. He maybe not a total fraud. Maybe he was just stretching the truth a little bit. But the fact that he took less, I was a little surprised at. I thought there was a chance that you were right, the ultimatum, and then maybe Manning would say, well, screw you guys. I'll become a free agent again, and I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I thought there was a chance of
that. He could have done.
I think he could have done it.
He probably would lessen his chances of winning.
Yep.
Because I don't know that he would be put in a situation with an AFC title, NFC title type team.
I agree.
But he could have got money from someone that would be
more than
$15 million in Denver.
There's a lot of teams that have cap space and the need.
Right.
Sure.
So
we were talking about Arizona.
Yep.
You know, with that defense and
of Carson Palmer.
Yeah, I don't know if they have the. I don't know if they have the cap space. I don't know what the situation
either.
Is.
I don't either.
But any.
They
team.
Just I they mean, did just should. Sign a quarterback to a big money deal, so I don't know if they would have been.
Yeah.
But interesting, nonetheless, that a guy of that stature took a pay cut.
Eric, you mentioned Buffalo.
Yeah,
they're big, still doing stuff.
Big
over
week
there.
For them.
Yeah, I love that trade. Not. I don't,
which one?
I don't really. The Kiko Alonso for
LeSean McCoy.
Not that I care about either. I just love player for player trades, and I wish there were more of that in the NFL.
Yeah, it used to be more commonplace.
I think it's the best one since Clinton Portis, Champ Bailey.
Yeah.
Denver, Washington swap.
Great.
I haven't thought
and
of it.
And Andy, you came up with that immediately. That's a great comp.
It's not that hard because there's not that many
of them. But
you know, everyone is saying.
Well, you had Mankins for Tim Wright.
That's true.
It wasn't a player for player, though.
Everyone is saying that, you know, the Bills got off the better end of that deal because Alonzo was hurt last year. But you got to remember, when Alonzo was healthy, and they were they loved him there.
Sure,
I mean, he was like the big guy now, and you know Chris Berman was loving.
But he's just not
Alonzo.
He's not Rex's kind of linebacker.
Yeah, if you believe reports,
but he's a
Rex said the first thing he needs to do is trade Kiko Alonzo.
Yeah,
that he's not a fit.
And I wonder why. Why do you think?
I think he's a runaround linebacker, and Rex like guys with some sand in their pants.
Oh.
He likes bigger guys in the inside.
Yeah.
You can look at it both ways. I get a little frustrated sometimes with coaches who refuse to bend. I don't think that he's a guy good enough to bend for.
Right. Yeah, that could be.
You know what I mean? I think Alonzo's a good player. I don't think he's a great player. And now, to Andy's point, he's a runaround linebacker coming off a torn ACL. Maybe he don't run around as well as he used
right.
to.
Yep.
If you're just going pure talent, McCoy's the better player.
Oh,
it's not even close.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
When you add in salary cap of $11 million hit for a running back, and there's talk that he's going to get some guaranteed money, they're going to tweak his deal, whatever. Okay, now there's thought. You have to put some thought in this. If you're just talking about a player, he is one of the best running backs in football and a dynamic playmaker for a team that can't rely on the passing game. So,
and we'll be losing C.J. Spiller.
But he's a much better player than C.J. Spiller
overall.
I agree.
And you could get offense out of him, not just running game offense.
For a team that has
after he gets over the depression of having been traded to Buffalo.
Now you have two similarly skilled elite offensive players in Sammy Watkins and McCoy. Not that Watkins has already accomplished that, but we know he has the ability to do it.
And you've got McCoy Castle has already done the ball.
Oh, Matt Castle. Well, there you go. Yeah.
But and of all the negatives that Andy pointed out, he didn't even point out the one that worried me the most if I were Rex Ryan. Evidently, McCoy is pissed.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Well, that's the next thing I was going to say. There's reports that he's not happy about going to Buffalo.
He'll show up. Yeah. Pissed.
No, I think he'll show up, but, you know, is he all too disgruntled?
Yeah. He's a douchebag.
Because he's not going to you gave all the 11 million reasons why he'll show up. He's not going to forfeit that money.
I played high school football in Pennsylvania. I played college. I didn't want to leave Pennsylvania. Well, then
you
screw
mentioned,
you.
Eric, they also signed Matt Cassel this week.
Traded him.
Yeah.
Traded for him, I should say.
They got him and a sixth for a fifth and a seventh,
mm-hmm.
I think.
That's something like, the way it something went like down. That. Yeah. So, and then the tweet I saw, I don't know if NFL.com had the story or whatever, but Rex says they believe he's the guy that can lead them. Okay, well,
he's certainly a hell of a lot better than any of their options.
Yes, no question.
They're not going anywhere with Matt Cassel as their quarterback. I think we all can agree on that.
I don't know. I think they could go to the playoffs with him. If the defense is as good as people think it is and Rex gives it a boost and you get a little offense out of your playmakers, I think
I can't say that that's not
him.
True because he's already done that.
Right.
He's already taken a team to the playoffs. So I can't say that that's not true. But if you want to compare him to Brian Hoyer, McCown, who they tried to sign, I think he's a better option than any of those guys.
It'll
in
be
some of those cases, I don't really think it's close.
Brady twice a year now?
He's not going to best Brady or best the Patriots, but you don't have to. You have to best the other wild card, you know, borderline playoff contenders. You know, the Texans or whoever else is kind of right on that
Miami.
Fringe.
Yeah.
Maintain
your supremacy as the second banana. They were second this year, which is an improvement for them. They're used to being fourth. Now they're second. So they need to solidify that place. And as you said, now can you stay in front of Houston? Can you stay in front? And they lost to Houston last year. Yeah. Can you stay in front of them? Can you get in front of Cincinnati?
So now,
or Pittsburgh?
And who knows when the Patriots are done purging talent? You never know.
So now I'm looking at this Wilfork statement and how, you know, I'll always be a Patriot no matter what happens. Is he preparing Patriot Nation for him going
to
down
an AFC
to Miami
rival?
And see, I could see him going to Miami.
Yeah,
too.
I could too.
You know, even though I'm a Dolphin, don't be mad at me.
Miami, Jets, and Houston, I think, are the three.
Those are three. Buffalo, I don't think, is a fit because they have Darius
and
Kyle Williams.
Pepper are tight. I don't know how tight they are, if it's willingness to go to the Jets, but they are tight. And he and Romeo, I think, have a good relationship, and I think that would make a lot of sense. I think those are the three most. Because somebody said, oh, you know, Sue leaves and he goes to Detroit. I don't know if he's quite in that mercenary mode where he's just going to go anywhere, but I think he'll have options that are appealing on some level.
Yeah, at this point in his career, you know, I think he probably wants to play somewhere. Right.
I think it'll be either
warm and maybe competitive.
And there may be a personal fit.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'll go to, you know, Tennessee, just randomly show up on the Titans. I don't think that happens.
I mean, we kind of factored in Will
Jason McCourty's
not
going to heavily be recruiting.
Will Ford gone now change? Does D-line now become a priority over O-line at all?
No, but that's
but it's
that,
still
that
a
maintains
priority.
Its spot as a huge priority.
Yeah.
We have been talking about for 3 weeks, they need to find a Vince replacement. We were talking about defensive linemen. When we sat down and did that thing before the combine that we put on, that Freddie, that you were our moderator on, we talked about defensive line as being a need, whereas it's a little harder because now in the past you just said, all right, let's find two gapping 330-pound guys, but now, like last year, it was Dominique Easley, a totally different kind of player. And Andy, I think, accurately said, I think they need to get one of those two guys run-stuffing 300-plus-pounders to replace Vince.
That he sent out Easley about going
sick?
Back down to Dr. Andrews.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
Now,
I
it retweeted could be routine. It could be routine.
I said the year two jump begins.
Yeah, it could be just a routine
at
inspection.
At an orthopedic center.
You know, get your inspection sticker for this year. You know, I don't know.
Get your inspection sticker.
I don't like Dominic Easley and James Andrews in the same sentence.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like him to be at one of those in, like, Arizona where it's a football training center, not a rehab facility.
So that place that he was in, when he was tweeting out the pictures, that was in Birmingham?
Andrew, Dr. James Andrews orthopedic. No. He's moved.
He's in Florida.
It's
now.
A Florida location.
Oh, okay. But he was with Andrews at a rehab place.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if he's with Andrews.
I thought he was in a performance institute like Arizona.
No.
When I first saw that.
Orthopedic center.
I missed that. See, that's what happens with Twitter. It can be really valuable, but you miss something, and then you lose context.
Yeah. Lost in translation.
Fred, I think also to the point about whether it's a need, the D-line, or not, I think when we were kind of projecting what the needs would be. I think we were putting D-line in there because of the uncertainty about Will Fork
right.
and maybe kind of 60-40 thinking that he wasn't going to be back anyway.
Right.
So
that, now,
you know, it came to be.
All right.
He had a great year last year, too.
He did.
47 sacks. I mean, that's big
he did.
Production.
Yeah, you were, yeah, that was great reporting by you, Paul.
I quite frankly am surprised they didn't pick up the bonus after that.
Oh, I saw somebody.
I wrote a quick blog, and I put 47
yeah.
sacks instead of tackles. And, yeah, I had
somebody
had
kindly
that.
Pointed it out yeah. to you.
yeah, he'll definitely get a good offer.
About four dozen of my good friends kindly pointed it out to me, which, in all seriousness, I do appreciate because yeah. –
I can see the Jets front office using that as fact. Look, he said it on Patriots.com. We'll sign him.
Yeah, don't do their homework. Right. Wow, he had 47 sacks. Huh?
All right, let's go to the phones. Jim's in Pittsburgh. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I was. Wasn't Vince mad last year that they waited till so late in the year or in the process to tell him they wanted to restructure?
I do not recall that. I think he was just mad he had to restructure.
Okay, I thought it was late. I was wondering if maybe that roster bonus was partly his idea to force their hand that if they're going to let him go, they got to do it early rather than later.
Oh, yeah, that's generally what all of those
the
are.
Players like to have that due the first day of the league year so the team can't get into free agency and make its right. moves and then decide.
Wait for all the musical chairs of right. money to dry up.
Oh, see, in here I thought I was smart and everybody knew that.
Yes. Well, you're still smart, though.
Yes.
It's better than everybody knowing it and you not knowing it.
Just because, just simply for agreeing with us makes you smart.
Well, that's true. You know, that's what I try to tell my wife, but
it hasn't worked. She's like, no, I'm just like the BFW in progress guy.
Just tell her the truth is never mean, honey.
Yeah,
and it can hurt.
Don't do that.
So,
all right, thanks.
That was my thought. I thought that's what he was trying to do, was just get out the door when he had the chance.
All right, thanks, Jim. Let's.
Did Nada get released yet?
No, but they're
I don't believe he is. Think
I think the fans are preparing themselves for that.
I'm just thinking some of these interesting big tackle names. Dockett already was released and signed,
yep.
but Vince Nada, who
how old
for
is
a period,
Nada?
He's younger, a couple years younger, I believe.
Oh yeah, he's not released yet, so he's not on this.
I
list.
Believe he's a couple years younger. But I also think how those guys play into, not that they're the same type of player, but if you're a Will Fork or a Nada and you're out there, do you kind of let the Sue situation play itself out? And then, you know, these six teams were in on Sue, only one gets them, and now you kind of look into them to say, well, we got to get somebody, and
right.
these guys are available.
And one thing to always keep in mind, and we talk about this all the time, because the Patriots do this seemingly every year, they like to sign the guys that have been released.
Yeah.
So they don't require compensation. And, you know, if Nada was one of those guys.
Well, it's why we're going to let Revis go so we can get a third-round pick.
Well, yeah, no, first-round pick, according right. to someone.
That's not how it works.
I understand. Yeah. But I do think the Patriots do tend to gravitate toward those guys that are released, so they don't require
yeah, they
any
do.
Compensation.
Yeah. God forbid you go toward the best players.
I know. That doesn't work.
You see what happens? You see what? You got to take it a step too far all the time, and now he's off track.
Dave's in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good.
You know, just sad about Vince not being there, but, I mean, you know what? I think we all knew it was coming.
Yep.
You know, it's time to say goodbye to a great Patriot player. You know, we had 11 years with the guy. You know, he was the 21st draft pick, and you don't really get that kind of quality drafted somebody like that in the 21st spot.
And he got his Super Bowl bookends. First year,
yeah,
last
you know,
year.
Yeah. A couple questions for you. I was reading that they were talking about, you know, Silva moving in that position. I don't know if that's, the answer there. Do you feel that, and who, let me ask you that, in the draft, or obviously Ndamukong Suh would be my pick, you know, my dream pick, but
no chance.
You know,
yeah, not happening.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No chance.
To replace, Will Fork. Who do you think?
Well, Salinga is going to be part of it.
Wise or draft wise, they can go to fill that spot.
Salinga is going to be a part of it. He's an exclusive rights free agent. He'll be back. They clearly like what they've
gotten. What about bringing Brish back?
That's a possibility.
Yeah, I think that could happen.
Yeah, but that's
but
not.
That's
the
not
answer.
A huge.
Not having Vince there and just having those two. That's a big
yeah.
drop down.
But Salinga, to me, is more of an answer than if you think he's
how much
talking about it, and he said that
nothing worse than long-winded
really
people
for,
who can't hear
Hightower,
you.
Hightower, Mayo, and Collins, because they don't have that big guy in front of them anymore.
Right,
right.
Because he was talking about how having him there taking those blockers.
Right now, their front line, the complexion of the front line and how they need to play football right now has changed unless they get a big guy. The question is, right. is that the style they want? Do they want that guy that eats up space, or do they want...
Well, you have to have...
Oh, no, they need a guy who eats up space.
How valuable, how much resources you put... that a $10 million guy? Is it a first-round pick, or is it a third-round pick, or a $2 million veteran or something?
My question would be, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful to Vince, because I'm not comparing the careers. I'm comparing Vince in year 12. How much of a drop-off would there be from him to Salinga?
Oh, I don't know. But the part of the problem with Salinga is he hasn't stayed healthy.
Yes, that's a huge part
of
the problem.
Vince was always healthy except, the one time
he had a major injury, but other than that, he was remarkably durable.
For a decade,
and Salinga has been banged up.
And knew what you were going to get.
Right.
But I don't
think 16 games.
I don't think there's an enormous difference. Listen, Vince is better. I'm not being stubborn here and trying to be, sunshine.com. Vince is better. But I don't think there's an enormous drop now. We're not talking about eight or 9 years ago when one guy was playing at an all-pro level.
Right, not as much as the gap.
Yeah, this is one of those true ones. We often scoff at the Patriots and say, well, would you rather have Vince making $6 million or Salinga making, $800,000?
Salinga.
I'd rather have Salinga making $800,000.
Yeah.
Cause
if you use the money to keep Revis. If you let Revis walk too, then
you got bigger problems.
All of the things that we're saying right now that are very much understanding of the maneuvers that they've made, I think could change 3 weeks from now if you've lost McCourty and you've lost Revis and, you're cutting other guys to create cap space that you haven't used. I think we can change our tune. I think I still feel that McCourty and Revis are going to be back. We posed that question, Andy. You like those questions, the 2-0, 0-2. I'm 2-0. I think they're both going to be back.
I don't.
Jason in Indiana says, the questions are starting to be answered, maybe. Love Big Vince. He is and always will hold a special place in the hearts of us Patriots fans. Unfortunately, the elephant in the room was the contract, and it's unfortunate these tough decisions are coming out. I'm making a prediction for Wilfork to strike a deal in Detroit and become a Lion. What about that? Also, which scenario would you rather have? Keeping Wilfork, McCourty, Connolly, Vereen, Mayo, Solder, or lose all those guys and keep Revis? Lastly, I am confused about guaranteed money. Does that count against cap? And if not, is there a limit to what guaranteed money we can give, thinking more guaranteed money could help him stay?
Yes, it counts against the cap. It's the
only
money that counts definitively against the cap. If a guy gets guaranteed money, that is forever on your cap.
Mm-hmm.
Salaries or not, you can get rid of salaries.
Let's go to Tim in Pensacola. Hey, Tim, on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Hey, Fred, what's up, man?
Hey.
Much better.
Hey, man, I was just sitting there looking at all the figures and stuff and just kind of bring it back to the cap talk of thinking about Danny Amendola. I know there's discussion on whether we should keep him, whether we should cut him. I think if we could trade him, that would be good. Look, he plays – Danny Amendola, he's not a bad player, but he plays best in the slot. And a slot receiver and outside receiver, to me, are kind of like different positions. I mean, even Welker – I think that's what Welker was. Welker saw – wait a minute, I'm getting all these catches, I'm getting all these numbers, yet the market out there for him wasn't as high as we thought. So not only are we talking about a quicker-than-fast, short possession receiver who plays primarily in the slot, but we're talking about one as the backup. So he's not even the starting. He's our number four receiver, and I understand the point he's a kick returner, but we're scheduled to pay him, what, six-something million dollars? We cut him, only free up $2 million, and I think, Andy, you were the one that said it, that really, you free up $2 million, but then you got to replace him. Yeah, but you get him off the books because the following year, he's due another $6, $7 million, and eventually when you cut the guy, you're going to have to take dead money unless you just keep him on the roster
two
or 3 years.
Every year it becomes
less dead money. That counts against your cap.
Yeah, I know what dead money is. Thanks for explaining it to me. It's less dead money every year. No, I didn't ask a single question, so open your ears.
Oh, I did.
No, you didn't. Dead money goes down every year. It's the way it works.
My thing is, if he is a backup slot possession receiver worth that kind of money?
No. And that's why he will either be cut or renegotiated. The best case scenario is renegotiation. It saves you the most money because there's no acceleration of the dead money that you just so nicely explained to me.
All right, so you want to lock him into the number four spot as the receiver. How much would you be wanting to pay this guy a year? $3 million? $2 million.
Ideally, I'll pay him as little as possible. But if they drop his, I believe his cap number right now is like 4.7. If you can shave, I think he can cut about $1 million or $1.5 million or whatever it is. No, 1.9 maybe off his salary.
I think it's
1.9
is what he'd save.
That's good. You know, if you can shave that, but he has to be open to that.
And as a number
and I don't
four
think
receiver,
he would be.
He's pretty good.
I think as a kick returner. Now, I was thinking about this today. If you can get a guy who returns kicks in the Vereen role, maybe whoever you bring in to fill that role, well, now I'm not as worried about Amendola. If that's so, that those roles kind of overlap at times. But if you tell me that I can shave his cap number down $3 million, I will pay him $3 million to return punts, kicks, and be an extra receiver. No doubt in my mind, I'd pay him that.
I don't want to pay him that for that. Because I think, as, with the exception of one kick return, I think he was below average as a kick returner.
Well, that goes for everybody who's ever returned kicks here.
I know, so
decade.
I don't have to give I don't have to give the guy that's his main job $3 million.
Well, I don't think that's his main job. I would like to think that Josh learned something by December and January and said, you know what, I can actually use this guy to do some things.
I just don't see him being
instead of Tim Wright. Or
I don't
Brian
see him
Timms
being
or,
much bigger part of the offense than he was this year, and I just think he could do better.
Chris in Hampshire, England writes in, just wanted to comment on the sense of panic that seems to be sweeping Patriots Nation at the moment, particularly.
Okay, I'm gonna do a preemptive strike on this.
Yeah. Who's panicking? Is your question?
My question would be, that is not even a question. That's patently false. We all started off the whole show by saying this is not a big surprise, and I listened on my way in. No one was panicking about it then.
He says particularly in regard to Revis and McCourty.
Yeah, I don't sense that. I just heard Tom Curran say that he thinks overwhelmingly both McCourty and Revis are going to be re-signed. I don't feel this. Jeff Howe was on Comcast last night saying all the different things that would need. This is the opposite of panic.
Well, maybe on the boards there. I don't. Anyway, he says, I have to say that I don't get it. I'm a huge Patriots fan, and I love all the guys who just helped us win a Super Bowl, but therein lies my consternation about the panic that's going on now. We just won the damn Super Bowl. Why on earth are we worrying about anything? In Bill We Trust, it's not just something we say. It's an axiom based on the fact that our head coach has won us 4 Super Bowls in 15 years and comes within a gnat's whisker of winning 2 more. If Bill and Robert Kraft allow Revis, McCourty, Wilfork, Mayo, Vereen, Paul, Andy, or anybody else to leave during the offseason, it will be because they have other plans that will be just as good.
Like Amendola.
I say other plans because bigger doesn't apply.
And Antoine
Harris. How much bigger can your plans be than winning the Super Bowl? The point is,
then why are we talking about anything? We shouldn't talk about the offseason. Check back in with us in August and September, because there's no point in discussing anything that occurs between March and then.
The point is, we should still be enjoying the heck out of the Super
Bowl
win, which, after all, is the holy grail of our sport. So I say to all Patriots fans, sit back, chill out, trust in the mighty Bill. By the time we get to the Super Bowl again next year, the cards being held up at the games will either read Revis Island or Revis Who. Wow.
That's the stupidest email.
Let's go.
To this show, so you're a fan who likes the Patriots and the analysis and the discussion, but you don't want to discuss anything for the next X number of months. I don't understand.
Under his formula, it doesn't matter. It's useless because there are going to be 53 widgets out there playing. As long as Belichick is coaching, they're going to the Super Bowl.
And once every 10 years, they'll go to the Super Bowl.
I think he's saying it's fun to discuss and trying to figure out before they do it what they're going to do and what they have in mind.
No, that's not what he's saying.
But don't panic.
He's saying it doesn't matter because in Bill We Trust, is not just something we say. It's an axiom.
He's saying
it means that's what's going to happen.
He's saying, why the panic?
Well, first of all,
there is no panic.
No one's panicking here.
But even if there were a panic because Revis is gone, I think if they lost Revis and McCourty and people were upset about that or worried about that, I think they'd have a right to be.
Mm-hmm. But there won't be panic unless number 12 is gone. If number 12 leaves, then they'll be panicked.
In terms of eliminating their chances to win the Super Bowl, we understand that as long as you have Brady and Belichick, you have a shot. You have a puncher's chance. Now, give yourself more than a puncher's chance by having other talented players around them. Should we ignore the fact that they went out and they improved their talent level last year and they ended up going from the conference title game to the Super Bowl? Should we ignore that? Or should we just say that in Bill we trust?
Robin's in Texas. Hey, Robin.
I guess we're not going to discuss
this. I thought it was a rhetorical question.
No, we're not allowed to discuss anything.
It was rhetorical.
Hello?
Hi, Robin.
Oh. Hi.
Hi.
I never called my boyfriend, Jesse. He got me into liking Patriots and football.
He did.
Well, welcome aboard.
And we listen to PFW every time it's on. We listen to the podcast because he works during the day, and we do our workouts to it.
Oh, that's nice. Great. Wow. That's cool.
So you sweat when you hear us.
Yeah.
Sweating to the oldies. Just listens to me and Fred.
So are you a big Patriots fan now, obviously?
Yes.
Okay. And what do you think about the Vince move?
I'm not quite sure. I don't know.
You're not that big a fan.
I'm still learning.
Okay, you're learning. Well, Vince Wilfork, they're not going to pick up his option. So you know who Vince Wilfork is?
No.
Oh, okay.
My boyfriend probably does.
Now, you sure you're talking about the football Patriots, or is it like a?
Okay.
All right. Well, you know, Robin, keep on working out, and keep on calling. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks, Robin.
Thanks, Robin.
Keep
sweating,
Robin
girl.
From Texas. I don't know what the purpose of that was, right? But
Paul just called you a fundamentally,
bad person.
What?
You got critique.
Oh, you got Big Head over here saying I keep people on too long.
You talking about the football Patriots?
No, I didn't mind that you cut the call short, but it was clear that she's trying to learn something.
You're mocking her.
About
Paul,
you know,
Paul was going to say cut the cord.
No, her boyfriend has gotten her into the Patriots a little bit. She's learning.
I'm trying to
gain. And you're quizzing her. Like, have you heard of Vince Wilfork?
I mean, clearly she doesn't know all the details. I need to establish her level of understanding so that I can have.
Yeah, and I thought when you asked her what she thought about the Wilfork move and she said she wasn't sure, pretty much gave you the level of.
You were like one of those reporters going with a politician trying to get the gotcha moment. Oh, you don't even know who Vince Wilfork is. You don't know the gas tax in the state of Massachusetts. That's what you did. You're being an a-hole.
That's all. I mean, I thought we were inclusive here.
Yes.
I thought we'd take all, you know, all levels of fans.
When you surpass me as the a-hole on the show, then we've
hit a new level. You don't need to be Miguel.
In defense of Fred, I'm the a-hole because I've hung up on like four people today that just don't have a clue about anything.
But you don't need to be at Miguel's level of knowing every last detail of the salary cap.
But this is a sports radio talk show.
Yeah, and I didn't
say you had anything to talk about.
You didn't have to leave her up.
I need to move on. I needed to establish whether or not she had a question or something specific to talk about.
I think what she was calling to say was that she's trying to learn more about the team because her boyfriend has gotten her into PFW in progress, and she's enjoying it.
All right. I'm sorry, Robin.
We take all kinds here.
Yes. Like we've never done that before.
Yes. No.
That's a terrible example.
What do we got here? What's this next 30 for 30? I see
Duke
I missed basketball.
It. Oh, Christian Laettner?
I hate Christian Laettner. I'll watch that one. I co-sign.
All right. Let's go to Isaac in Fort Lauderdale. Isaac, do you know who Vince Wilfork is?
Oh, see now.
Are you
there?
Isaac.
Ike.
Isaac.
Ike.
All right, never mind.
He hung up. I didn't hang up.
I don't believe it.
Let's go to Justin in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Do you know who Vince Wilfork is?
Yep.
Good.
You know, definitely.
Turn him up.
My thing is, you guys talked about this, I think, last show. And you were posing the question, what would you rather have? Would you rather have the Jets lose a second-round pick or have the apology? I'd really rather have the Jets losing a second-round pick. The way I feel is that the apology really doesn't mean much to me because I don't feel like it's about, like, the Patriots to play the balls. I just feel like it's about all these fans that hate us. It's about the reporters that are, granted, they aren't doing anything wrong, but they're giving these fans that hate us what they want. And I feel like the pick is something tangible for us to have. And I'm tired of asking for apologies. Let's just get some jealousy out of these people.
Yep.
Let's put their team's asses. I don't care about apologies. I don't need an apology. I want a pick. I want to destroy the Jets. I want to destroy everything. Let's make it back to the Super Bowl. Love PFW in progress. I'm out.
All right.
I got to tell you, we have been good for Justin. Remember he used to say like. He now articulates his point as quickly and concisely and gets the hell out.
Shows
he's bordering
a lot of
on Chester.
He's, yeah, well, he's, I think he's yeah, probably taken say,
Chester Jr. over
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Good job, Justin. You have come a long way in this show. We will never hang up on you again.
Steve in Killeen, Texas writes
you wouldn't go
in,
that far.
Yeah, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't promise.
He says, PFW excellence in reporting and journalism team. What are your thoughts on Big Vince in another one-year deal, or do you think the Patriots will attempt to plug in the 6'3", 325-pound D-line man they signed? I do not recall his name at the moment. I think that must be
Rufus Johnson, the futures contract guy?
No, but look at last year. You signed a guy, Alan Branch, a former second round pick, with 8 years of service in the middle of the season. Those guys
They're out there.
That
They're
was kind of my
available.
That was kind of my Salinga point.
My thoughts are
so if
that's what Fred says every year. Those guys are always out there.
I mean, Gerard
right?
Warren or yeah, but he says it about no, but he said he thinks like star receivers are just anything.
He thinks if Brady gets hurt, you can right. pick up a guy like Brady during the season.
That's what I think. I'm glad you're laughing, Eric. My thoughts are
your review is coming. Andy and Paul are ripping Fred, and he gets mad at Eric.
No, he was on my side.
Right.
Because he's laughing.
Because he realizes how ridiculous
he's laughing
what
at you.
You're saying.
He's laughing at you, you know, Fred.
Yes. That's
no, laughing at I wasn't laughing at you.
Of course you weren't. You were laughing at how ridiculous the statement was.
It was, a little bit.
My thoughts are Wilfork and Mayo both will both be gone based on cap space
yes.
and perceived
well,
value.
For sure.
Half of it's good, right?
Yes.
Will I be happy to see them go? No. But Tommy Kelly was sent down the road, and we managed. Thus is the nature of the Patriots' office. It's all about value. We are going to do what's best for the
Wait
team.
A minute. Tommy Kelly never played here.
Now let's get Revis worked
but
out.
But last year he didn't.
No, I know, but he...
he played four games,
to
got
compare
hurt,
saying
and then,
Tommy
yeah.
Kelly was gone to Vince Wilfork, a guy who right. 10 out of 11 years you got like 16
That's
games out of...
That's not a fair comparison.
Yeah,
Tommy Kelly was fine.
Logan Mankins was gone, and it worked out. Vince Wilfork will be gone. By the way, we haven't touched on this. Leadership is a factor here. Mankins, McCourty, Mayo... Wilfork. If all these guys are gone, you're going to have a total overhaul of your leadership structure. And in the last 2 years, you've lost your two a-hole leaders, the Logan Mankins, Vince Wilfork, kick a guy in the ass if he needs it kind of guys. I don't know where that would come from. So that's a sub story.
Subplot.
Here.
Yeah, that's something to keep in mind, and certainly will be a topic of conversation come July.
Like, who would the captains be? Say Mayo's gone, Wilfork's gone,
McCourty's
and McCourty's gone.
Gone.
Revis becomes a captain?
I don't know. He's so quiet.
Well, but he, you know what? I could see that
Dante
happening.
Hightower becomes
one of the captain. Linebackers. Will be a,
Dante.
Yeah, I think it'll be Hightower because
I do too.
You get Ninkovich back. He's been an off and on captain.
He could be a captain, right? I think Revis is a candidate for that.
Oh, though. I wouldn't dismiss it as a possibility. I just think he's a little bit quieter.
Yeah,
for
he's
my
not
liking.
Traded. Maybe Vollmer.
I still think
Stork could Stork slide in a year or two captain.
That might be too early.
That might
for
be a little
him.
Too early. But
it
I think one
to
of
Mayo
the,
and McCourty.
I think one of the tackles could
one of them.
Could be
really year two.
Definitely one of
I
them.
I think Vollmer or Solder
think,
could be.
I think you're right about Mayo.
I was surprised Solder wasn't last year and that they gave it to Connolly, honestly.
But I just, it's an interesting, I mean, one of your leaders,
Leadership.
Whatever. Gronk,
no, I think
Gronk is never going to be a captain, I don't think.
That's going to be.
Not that, I mean, I would make him a captain, well, but people like Paul wouldn't.
Captain America.
First of all, I would, I don't even want to say because I don't want to be disrespectful. I would have no problem with Gronk being a captain because I think, by all accounts, he's one of the hardest-working football players in that locker room.
I also it's kind of overrated because you're a captain doesn't mean you lead, and because you're not a captain doesn't mean you can't lead.
Yeah. Correct.
Edelman could be a captain.
Oh, jeez. Jules, I love you.
What is that for?
Why do you have to be like that?
The underlying...
You're idiotic.
What underlying?
You are an
what
idiot.
Underlying?
The whole he kind of annoyed me, and I have a theory about it that I don't know if I've expressed.
He's insane.
I don't
He's
know what
certifiably
you're talking about.
Insane.
The love.
Oh,
when
Edelman was saying he loves everybody.
Oh,
yeah,
I love you, and Coach, I'd do anything for you. I mean anything, Coach. You ever? I'd do anything. Is there any chance? You know the whole underlying was he concussed? Should he not have been playing thing? That you know how some people when they get drunk.
Right.
They're like, I love
They're
you,
happy
man.
Drunks.
Yeah. Is there a chance that his reaction to a concussion was like he was drunk? I love you, guy. I love you, man. I love you, too,
well,
man.
Well, maybe.
Any chance of that?
There's always a chance
You know, your
of
brain's
anything.
A little kabobbled.
Absolutely. Yeah. Are you kidding me? That mic'd up thing?
But he's been doing
St.
it all
Louis?
Year. He's been doing it all year,
I also
though,
think at
the
end of the game.
He dealt with
concussions.
Him and Jules, love you, Jules, la, la. Yeah.
I also think at the end of the game when he tackled McDaniels and he said, this is why you brought me back, you know, he's thinking of those things,
mm-hmm.
like his role on this team and, you know, his worth and value of on the team.
Oh, well, he's always had that little bee in his bonnet,
yeah.
No question.
A lot of bees in bonnets.
But I wouldn't – I don't think that would be a –
I don't want to go outside.
I'm cool. with I co-sign with Eric's suggestion there. I think that wouldn't be a bad one, Edelman.
What?
I think Edelman would be a real viable guy to –
And he'll do whatever Brady
And I don't know if they feel like it's important to have an offensive lineman. I know that they replaced Mankins with Conley. I don't know if they feel like that's important to have somebody in that position.
Stork. I'm going Stork.
But Stork, I think, is a guy because
Conley's
going
to
go.
He's a captain. He has to talk to me. I'm going to say that to him.
How many times Conley talked to you this year?
Oh, I've talked to him a number of times, and he's always very well-spoken and cordial. And
I talk to him all the time. How many times did he talk to you?
No. It's Stork to Conley, not even close.
No, no, no. One's nice.
One's in a disrespectful a-hole, and one isn't going to say a lot. I mean, there's two different levels there.
Yeah, I think they say the same.
See, I don't. I think
one of them is very nice about it, and the other one is very rude about it.
No, Dan Conley gives you 1,000,000,000% more than Stork. Now, year two Stork may be different. He shaved the beard. It's a fresh start.
And I got to tell you, this is, you know, people always ask Andy and I about our combine observations. Could not have gotten more glowing stuff about Brian Stork from Florida State related guys. Not just the offensive linemen either, because there's 8 million Florida State guys at the combine.
And everybody here
loves Stork.
Everybody here loves him, except us.
So like 2 weeks ago, I met his strength and conditioning coach at FSU. Same thing.
They love the Stork.
I'll tell you, there's some stuff I'll tell you Stork off the delivers. Air that might go into him being an a-hole. I got some intel.
Pablo in Mexico City writes in, thanks for all you do. With the news that the team has chosen not to pick up Wilfork's option, I just have one question. Is his career in New England enough for Hall of Fame or just the team Hall of Fame presented by Raytheon?
Team Hall of Fame, easily.
Yeah, he'll be a team Hall of Fame.
Whoa. Fred, is possibility. He a team Hall of Famer?
Won a couple Super Bowls?
I just don't understand that whole thing. The ultimate individual honor he ties to team accomplishments. Right.
No,
I don't get
but
that.
But see, now precedent, he's in. I wouldn't put him in.
You would not.
Just so you know, there's a lot of people that think he's a legitimate Pro Football Hall of Fame candidate. I'm not one of them. But that was the discussion on EEI this morning.
I wouldn't go to Canton with him, but I think he could easily fit in this one.
I don't even think it's a question, a topic.
No.
I can't even imagine somebody thinking he's not a team Hall of Famer. 11 years where he played at a Pro Bowl level for at least half of them,
or more, yeah.
All pro, won a couple Super Bowls, whether you think that's important or not. But for 11 years, a team that was good, he was a key part of it.
Yep.
That's a team Hall of Famer.
Yeah. You just sold me.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that many Pro Bowls. You just sold me.
I may have just guessed.
No, but he's probably roughly half of those years he's a Hall of Famer. You know, because I was thinking there's a lot
of guys. But I don't
think
he's anywhere near a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
No.
And I hope, you know, not to be disrespectful.
Yeah, no, I think in precedent, he definitely gets in. He contributed as much to the Patriots as Troy Brown did, or even Teddy Bruschi, I would say.
Oh, God, yes.
You know?
Just because he doesn't run around and make flashy plays.
Yep. And those guys are in, so then he should get in.
Yeah, see, but now you're becoming what you don't like.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying what will happen.
I don't think there needs to be precedent.
Yeah, but we're not asking you what will
happen.
By
the way, he's a better player at his job than Teddy Bruschi was at his.
Yeah, I can't keep Vince Wilfork out of the Patriots Hall of Fame. He's got to go in.
Okay.
You know?
He should be.
But you wouldn't put him
if I had to start over, there's been a lot of guys that shouldn't have been in, and maybe now he doesn't get in.
See, I think he's in no matter. You can start over.
So would
tomorrow.
You not have a Hall of Fame ceremony every year?
Maybe not every year.
Well, you couldn't based on your standards.
Right.
No way you could.
Yeah,
You'd have one like once every 5 to 10.
And there would be no retired numbers.
Well, none. Yeah, that's a separate issue.
Except
and there
maybe
isn't.
Two or three.
I would definitely have retired numbers, but only for special.
You have to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame to get your number retired.
Not for like, Julius Adams and Steve Grogan.
Let's not pretend that things haven't changed.
But Grogan's not in. His number is not retired.
Oh, you're right.
Right.
His number is
Julius Adams is, though, right?
Bruce Armstrong's is.
Bruce Armstrong's is. Yeah. Those guys wouldn't have their numbers
Nelson's.
Retired for me.
Steve Nelson is.
Yeah, they shouldn't be.
Like Tip?
Tip,
that's
yes.
a number worth retiring.
Hannah, yes.
He's in the Hall
of Fame.
Right. If you're in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you probably deserve your number to be retired.
Right.
But I'm always fascinated.
Someday,
I'm always fascinated by you with who you think should be and shouldn't be. I understand that we all think it's a lock. Wilfork will be in the Patriots Hall of Fame. Do you think he should be?
Yeah.
And don't say that based on Troy Brown's contributions or whoever else's contributions. Do you think he should be in the Hall of Fame? Because I'm really fascinated by your really tough stance on the Hall of Fame.
No,
you don't think he should be?
No.
Who?
Vince.
How?
But because of the way they do it, yes, of course he should be.
So what should he have done to be in there?
Yeah, what could he have done to – because
he played every year. Played half his career at a Pro Bowl level. So you think he should have gone to the Pro Bowl every single year of his career? Because guess what? Then he'd be a Pro
then
Football
he'd be a
Hall
Pro
of Famer,
Football Hall
and there'd
of
be
Famer.
No question.
Yeah.
So you think only Team Hall of Famers should be Pro Football Hall of Famers, basically.
And I think he only says yes reluctantly because they won a second Super Bowl. Like, the whole team accomplishment I find fascinating with you.
Yes.
Like, it's like a Hall of Fame.
Wes Welker makes another catch, one single catch,
right.
And he's a Hall of Famer. But because he didn't, he's not.
Or forgetting that, if Mario Manningham doesn't catch the ball, even if he dropped it, he's in the Hall of Fame.
That's flawed. That is very flawed.
Like
very, very flawed.
It, to me, being in a Hall of Fame in a sport is the ultimate individual honor. It's
right.
the ultimate sort of celebration of a guy's individual career. And you tie it to team accomplishments.
I think that's true with the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but not a team Hall of Fame.
I don't understand what you think is different about it. To me, the only difference is we're only dealing with the best of this one individual team. The criteria should be exactly the same. But it is also one of the things that I like the most about it is Fred's criteria can be different than Eric's. I like that. I like the subjectivity of it. Sure. Fred has his, and I respect it. He doesn't think anybody belongs. I do. I know you don't think I do. I really respect it because you're very consistent with it.
Joe from Boca Raton.
Of course, he never talks like this at the meetings when he's on the committee.
That's true. It's too late now. I mean, you know.
Right, the horse is out of the barn.
There's a ceremony every year.
Yeah,
put somebody in.
I would have to do a complete redo. And now the horse is out of the barn, so you got to go with what you
get. Ty Law. I don't think so.
Yeah, questionable.
you don't really think he's questionable, right?
No, Ty Law in. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Ty Law in.
Joel from Boca Raton. Love the show. I'm friends with Anna from Denver. When we both lived in Burlington, Vermont, she was nice enough to buy you lunch last week.
Yes, she
was. My question is, why does anyone have to buy you lunch? At my company and every company I've ever worked at, if you have to have a meeting during lunch, the company pays for it. Is that not the case with the Patriots? Why doesn't Robert Kraft just pay for your lunch?
Why don't you forward that to the front office?
Yeah, I like it. I like the idea.
Yeah, I'd rather have, you know.
But no one really asked us to do this show. It was my idea.
Regular compensation. You know. Yeah, it's not really a meeting. Yeah. So it's
I think if we stopped doing it, no one would say, you have to do that radio show.
And there are plenty of times that there are meetings in this building that we have lunch provided
when
for
you,
us.
When you brought your little numbers, the major drop in numbers people would notice on the website.
I guess so.
Well, you would. Yeah. You don't report those to anybody above you?
No.
Not if they drop.
No, I do. Everybody sees the numbers.
Okay. Well, wouldn't they ask why there was a chunk of numbers that are now missing?
And then the answer would be because no one's buying us lunch.
And then they'd go, come again.
John in South Carolina, the Patriots won the Super Bowl. Still not sick of that statement. I could hear it every day and be fine. Right now, it's kind of hard to get worked up and upset about anything. However, Vince being cut really hit me. I'm still not upset, and yeah, it was probably the only good choice for the team. As a fan, it was great that Vince made that statement. It makes it so I don't have to choose a side. I have heard people saying Vince's money may free up enough space to sign Revis and McCourty, but it doesn't seem like it would to do that. Am I wrong? No, they need more.
Oh, yeah. You're not getting those two for $8 million.
Looking at running back,
That in and of itself, but you also have to add the Miguel talked about it. It's probably going to be roughly a net of $10 million for Revis because you're not going to pick up the bonus. That's going to give you $25 million. You're going to then use – it's going to give you $20 because I think it's a $5 million
dead hit.
Plus whatever you sign him for.
Right. So
you're going to end up netting $10 million in space roughly by re-signing Revis if you do.
So that's $18 million.
Now, if you lose Revis, that's $20 million in space that you gain.
Right.
Because everybody that says, you know, the Patriots are over the cap is counting that Revis bonus as putting them over the cap.
Looking at the running back, I think Blunt proved himself to not be special during the playoffs. I mean, unless we only play the Colts next year. So looking at our stable of running backs and guessing we don't keep Vereen or Ridley, are we desperate for a running back? Oh, shout out to Brooklyn Matt. He's a douche. Okay.
Desperate?
Here's where I'm going to play. No. I'm going to play the role of Fred on this one. How desperate can you be for a running back if the guy that you just deemed not special was good enough for you to be on your team and win the Super Bowl?
Well, I love that argument. Like,
desperate?
No matter what,
for a running back?
You don't need anything.
No, but
you know what I mean?
What
like,
I'm saying
people
is,
will use that. You know, how bad was your running back? You won the Super Bowl.
No, but
how bad was your left guard? You won the Super Bowl. How bad was your defensive tackle? You won the Super Bowl.
But I don't
how
think you can do it for every.
Well, great. Okay.
You know me.
So we won the Super Bowl.
I can
so
do
don't
it.
Don't replace anybody.
Jonathan.
Wait. Don't let him slap me around like that
well,
and not give me a chance to rebut.
This email just
okay. Good. This email has something to do with that?
Well, a little
okay.
bit. Jonathan from D.C. says, what the F are you guys talking about? Get rid of Edelman. Don't care about Vereen leaving. McCourty, Mayo, Wilfork. We lived and died off the short surgical passes and mental strength forged through leadership. This is who we are as a team, and I feel like we are losing that, and you guys don't seem to give a flying F. This whole thing is effed three ways towards the weekend. Wow.
No one said get rid of Edelman.
Who said anything
about Amendola?
We promoted him to captain.
We're promoting Edelman to a captain. Who said that we want to get rid of him?
Amendola was a bit player until late December when Josh did what
I told
Amendola,
him. Amendola, I could take or leave, but Edelman, I mean,
there's an example of a fan who's panicking.
But that's not panicking. He thinks that we want to get rid of guys that we don't want to get rid of.
Well,
it's under false pretenses.
Whatever reason, he's panicking.
And he's panicking for the wrong reasons.
He's panicking because they want to get rid of guys that aren't getting rid of.
You should be panicking now because you're going to get rid of Mayo, Wilfork, Browner, McCourty, and Revis. If those all go, you should be panicking.
Yeah, and
I'm giving you the permission.
Again,
panic.
And I said that with the guy who made the point. If they lose Revis and McCourty, I think you have a right to sit there and say, well, wait a minute. We really improved our secondary last year, and now we're just letting them all walk?
Yeah, but I could counter that with, you know, so we'll go to the AFC title game, and then we'll see what happens.
You talk about talking out of both sides of your mouth in the last 34 seconds.
Speaking of...
And by the way,
he's not going to let
I don't think you need a lead running back, which I think Blunt is fine because I don't really value the position all that much. You got to have a good cornerback or a good quarterback. Or someone to block. I mean, you have to have some players.
You know, I wasn't being specific to you. I was being specific to the person that uses the Super Bowl as the argument. So you could say, well, you need to get a lead back who can get you like 1,600 yards because you won the Super Bowl with Corey Dillon. Or you can say, well, you don't need a lead back. You won the Super Bowl with Blunt. Like,
bottom line, there's a million ways to win the Super
Bowl. Exactly. Yeah, right. So winning the Super Bowl is
not an argument for any
individual
you just need
personal
Bill
for yay or nay.
James in the Cube says, sorry, I have to call Andy out. He's you out.
What'd I do?
Last show, he said several times that McCourty is a Pro Bowl safety and even went out of the way to say, no, he's not an All-Pro safety. He's a Pro Bowl safety. He was a second-team All-Pro in 2013 as a safety, no Pro Bowl berth.
Pro Bowl corner
in 2010.
I don't think so.
No.
So that's.
Well, I thought he was a Pro Bowler this year.
I don't think he's ever made the Pro Bowl as a safety. But second team All Pro is not All Pro.
Yeah, that's not an All Pro.
No, it isn't.
No.
I thought for sure he. I thought he was not a Pro Bowler this year.
No, I don't think so.
You think Matthew Slater is a special?
Well, those people actually had to walk off that plane that drove off the run. Like,
unless he was one of those unpublicized replacements.
No, I don't care
on
about
paper
that.
Only.
You mean a first-time namer?
I don't think that he made it.
Brady,
originally.
Gronk, Revis, Slater, Gostkowski. Those were the five.
Yes.
Oh yeah. You're right. He's not a Pro Bowl safety.
But
right.
From Boston,
but he's not an All-Pro safety either.
Yeah. No.
Right. No, he isn't.
No. Yeah.
He was a Pro Bowl corner as a rookie. He made the Pro Bowl. He started in the Pro Bowl as a corner.
As a corner.
But that's
Bud from Boston, I have a story and then a question. I'm 20 years old, and I've been listening since the show since I was in eighth grade. I think I started listening in the offseason leading up to the 2010 draft. I remember being furious when we traded out of the 24th pick and got McCourty instead of picking up Dez Bryant. Throughout my time in high school and now college, I felt especially connected to you guys, partly because I'm a St. Paul's alum. And I'm now at Tufts.
Oh, nice.
Woo!
I like to think I'm a good combination of Eskow's pomposity and Andy's belligerence. Anyway, with the Pats
winning... You're the biggest a-hole on the planet.
With the Pats winning the Super Bowl this year, I thought it was a good time to thank you guys for putting on such a high-quality show over the years. I can't tell you how many times I've burst out laughing in the library listening to PFW while studying. On the subject of McCourty, I was wondering how important keeping him was. I have never considered him a very good safety, but I also feel like there aren't very many in the league right now. Do we wind up overpaying him because of a bad market, or could Harmon step up and do something similar to what Devin has been doing for less money?
Yes.
You think he could? You think Harmon could step up?
I think anything's possible. Do I think he will? You didn't ask me that.
Oh.
Will he? No.
Okay. I have no problem.
You don't think he could, though? Like, I don't know for sure. He's not as good a player as Devin McCourty. He was not a first-round pick. He was not a Pro Bowl corner. So he's a lesser talent. But could he be good enough?
Yes. And
I think there's a chance.
For him to be good enough, though, means that he has to be surrounded by talent.
Well, that's how McCourty got good enough, too.
Well,
right. McCourty wasn't good enough until he was surrounded by talent.
Remember a couple years ago when they gave up bombs galore?
Yeah.
But I will say, you know, like I'm just reading down his bio. It was one-time Pro Bowl, 2010. But that just kind of makes me laugh. Career highlights. Named to Associated Press All-Pro Second Team in 2010. That was as a corner in 2013. Then the next bullet point. Earned Associated Press All-Pro Second Team honors at safety in 2013 and Second Team All-Pro honors as a rookie in 2010 when he played cornerback.
Right. Which
same thing.
It's the same thing.
Right. I want to know.
Well, I wanted to make because
I needed another bullet point.
Well, I was wondering if we missed one of his accomplishments, one of his honors, right. And we didn't. He was a second team All Pro twice.
All right. Let's take a break. Food's here. Who bought food today?
Blendy in Long Island.
Wendy.
Blendy.
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 In Long Island. Well, thanks, Blendy. If you have an email, we'll read it. We'll be right back after this. We have a lot of emails, a lot of calls.
And new commercials.
And new commercials, so hang on.
The new $5 New England Patriots instant scratch ticket from the Mass State Lottery features over $46 million in prizes. Win up to $250,000 instantly. And there are also second chance opportunities to win exclusive Patriots game day experiences, including away game trips to Miami for 10 years. It's the new $5 New England Patriots instant ticket from the Mass State Lottery. For more, visit masslottery.com. Must be 18 years or older to play. Please play responsibly.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center. Located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's own ticket agency. We live and work here, and just like you, we are passionate Boston sports fans. We love live events, and most of all, we love our customers. And in return, our customers have given us the highest customer service rating of any ticket agency in America. Wow! Thanks to all employees of Ace, and thank you to all our customers for rating us number one. When you need tickets, come experience the Ace difference. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
A lot of people talk about giving their best. They talk about leaving it all on the field. But how do you know if it's enough? The simple fact is, you don't. But that's why you keep going. Keep working. Keep doing your job. And in the end, your results will show exactly how much you gave. Putnam is proud to partner with those who share their own commitment to performance excellence. This is Matt Light for Putnam Investments, a world of investing.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from A's Ticket, Boston's own ticket agency. We live and work here, and just like you, we are passionate Boston sports fans. We love live events, and most of all, we love our customers. And in return, our customers have given us the highest customer service rating of any ticket agency in America. Wow. Thanks to all employees of A's, and thank you to all our customers for rating us number one. When you need tickets, come experience the A's difference. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Scott Zolak, sit down with Tom Brady. Did you see what came out of that? An answer to our Brian Stork pooping his pants problem.
Oh, yeah?
It's a wetness issue. He said that Stork, he sweats a lot, and I had to tell him, listen, my hands are down there a lot. I need you to take care of it and try to dry it. And there's no doubt in my mind that's what I witnessed. And then he was wiping his ass, and there's no doubt in my mind that's when Brady was yelling at him for, you got to keep it drier down there. Do whatever you need to do.
He's kidding.
He's a butt sweater.
I'm not kidding. Maybe he should wear Depends. No, this is no joke, but that would solve it, right? These are made to absorb wetness.
Yeah, but once you wet them, aren't you supposed to change them? You know when, like, little kids are walking around and it's like dragging on the ground because it's so wet and soggy?
That's a load in their pants.
We've been joking that he might have pooped his pants. He didn't poop his pants. He just has a butt sweating problem.
Okay, well, we've cleared that up.
Right.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
I like when we are open. When we screw up, we tell you we screwed up. He didn't poop his pants. He has a sweating button.
He has a moisture problem down there.
Right. And who doesn't? Everybody gets swamp ass.
Sure.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Wouldn't be lunch if I didn't do that. So, what?
It's like clockwork. As soon as we come back on the air.
Well, I eat so fast. I build up all this air, you know?
I mean, but it's just the timing of it is like how fast you eat, the commercial break, and then as soon as you turn the mic on to welcome everyone back.
Now I'm talking and all this air is going back and forth and you just have to let it go. All right, we're talking Vince Wilfork.
Manahan let one fly today.
Did he?
On the air.
On the air?
This morning, yeah.
Oh.
He was in the, and he goes, oh, hold on. Excuse me. It's like he knew he was going to burp and he did, unless it was some sort of
and didn't use the
sound drop
button?
And I didn't know about.
Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalada.
I was actually wondering where she's been. Has she been gone a little bit?
No, I just don't always get to her emails. There's tons of emails. Okay. Find it interesting that 99% of Patriots Nation is up in arms over the Wilfork release. Didn't we just win the Super Bowl? It's like the 99% all of a sudden doesn't trust that Bill and company have a plan in place. Paul not taking the bait. He's too busy with his calzone.
The message boards must be really like.
And even though it looks like Wilford.
Well, I was going to say, maybe I'm not seeing the message boards, right. And that's what all this is, because we haven't gotten any interaction like that.
No.
And certainly the writers and the media types around here are all very much business as usual.
Even though it looks like Wilford is halfway out the door, who's to say he can't come to terms on a lesser contract? But the best suggestion on a landing spot I've heard so far is from Andy, the Texans. Makes the most sense after the Patriots. Can't see him end up with the Bills. And I hope this means working out a deal with Revis. So everyone better just Belichick themselves before they wreck themselves. Ooh, Belichick yourself before you wreck yourself.
Not new, Fred.
No?
No.
Oh, it isn't?
Didn't the guy get that tattooed on his arm?
Yeah, I think so.
So at what point, I wonder, will these Bill You Trust people, is there a breaking point this offseason? Is there a Revis breaking point? Is there a Revis and McCourty? Is it McCourty? Is it May?
Like, no.
So nothing could happen this offseason.
Well, if they go 5-11, okay.
If I said this offseason. No.
If they hadn't won the Super Bowl, I think there might be. But because they did, I think that extends the feeling
he's got
of
a window.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's got a new window.
Cachet.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
All right. Lunch was bought by Blendy from Long Island, and Blendy's on the phone. Hey, Blendy, thanks for the grub.
Hi. Hey, guys. Fred, always a pleasure to hear you guys, and big fan here for 8 years.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you had a good lunch and not too many burps after that, right?
Yeah, well, we're still eating it, Paul.
Tremendous.
Halfway into the calzone the size of...
I order a customized pizza every time from this place that we get, and this might be the best one they've ever made.
And in honor of your name, I blended Fred lunch with mine. I ordered a salad, and then he only ate half his sub, so now I'm eating the second half of his sub.
Good for you, bud. Good
Thank
for you.
Thank you.
Well, that's because Andy's trying
pounds.
To watch his weight.
Yeah.
To which I asked him where he's watching it go.
Right.
I actually thought about talking about all this stuff in New England Patriots, but my wife just came home saying that we're going to have number three. So.
Hey!
Congratulations. Breaking news.
This show's also big for that. A lot of family expansion.
I guess so.
I think we boost fertility.
I don't know. I had two already.
Boost libido.
We're excited. So I just wanted to make sure that my wife, Sheena, is going to be mom again for a third time. And that was my biggest news, I guess. I mean, I thought Vince Wilford looked like a VW back when they made him compact and strong. But everybody's time comes eventually, so...
I never thought of that. I never thought of VW Vince Wilfork.
Vince Wilfork?
Really? Never.
No. Really?
No.
Well, I guess original, no?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I get what you're talking about. Even we did like an issue of Cars at one point.
Yeah. You know,
Volkswagens, you always think of small cars.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But they're not anymore. Volkswagen has a full line of cars.
Right. No, but,
yeah.
But even their biggest cars. Early 2000 issues, you know?
Yeah. With those little, what are they, cabriolets and stuff?
What
and
kind of, speaking of names, what kind of a name is Blendy? That's very unique.
Oh, it's Albanian Greek or whatever.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it short for anything or is that the...
No, it just used to be somebody's name 1,000 years ago and they just...
Blendy Garapas?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's all good, man. It's all good. I get Blondie a lot, but it's not Blondie, it's Blendy. Yeah.
Blendy.
Well, so you know, Andy is a good name for babies. Just
I know, but my brother's name is Andy.
Boy or girl.
So,
wait. Your brother's name is Andy?
Yeah, well, Andrew and all that stuff, you know. But short, Andy, obviously.
Huh.
How'd you end up Blendy?
Well, that was kind of where I was going.
That's a good question. You got to ask my parents, and they don't feel like they got more explanation. They just liked it and went with it.
Okay.
And, yeah, this was 30-some-odd years ago, whatever.
They went traditional, and then they went cool.
Well, actually, they went cool first and then traditional.
Yeah, and you look at it your way, I look at it mine.
No, I think he's saying he was born first.
What can I tell you? But I also wanted to say that I brought the scientific community closer to you guys because I teach math and physics at college. So
nice.
I try to talk about you guys as much as I can to my friends.
Oh, that's great. I appreciate
that. Yeah, and especially with the Deflategate. That, man, that got me crazy, riled up all about the physics, because nobody understands seems to be like, it's very easy to just do a couple of equations here and say possibility exists, and everybody's up in arms and saying, oh, they cheated and all that stuff, and that got me all riled up, so.
Sure. You and me both, Blendy. Well, thanks for the lunch. We
really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. Enjoy. I always enjoy the show.
And congrats.
Number three.
And don't be a stranger.
Absolutely.
Right.
Congratulations and thank you.
Yep. Call back.
All third right. child's always the best child, just so you know. So,
third Why child is?
Because I'm the third.
Oh, for God's sake, should have known better.
I thought I can't believe
I
you even
should have
known
better. I mean, I didn't know if you had news that you were going
to
announce.
What's it had to do about him?
And may your third child be a masculine child.
Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing today?
Good. Great.
Couple questions. Since they got rid of Vince, anybody in mind? Do you think they have in mind? Because
no.
I know they don't think Chris Jones, Branch, and Salinga, whatever his name is. It's going to be an answer for that front line, that is the line.
I'm not sure they have anyone in mind. I think what they had in mind was not paying Vince $8.5 million to do that job. They could draft a guy. They'll probably draft a guy in the first couple, three rounds that fits that mold. And I think they'll probably sign a veteran. And I think you will have Salinga in the mix.
Okay. So another thing is, if let's say they drop 7 out of the 11. That's cap right now, just, you know. How do you think this team will do next year?
I don't understand the question. 7 of what, 11?
Okay, let's say Varane's gone. Edelman, he probably stayed. Amendola's gone.
Edelman's on the contract, yeah.
Well, Mayo.
So is Amendola and Revis.
Vince Mayo. Gone. Vince. Yeah, Revis. McCourty. What do you think this team will look like?
Well, I'm going to assume that if they let all those people, they do something. Because if they let them all go and don't do anything and just sit on cap money and now you're not spending to the cap, now you're not spending cash, the criticisms will come. And Bill, you trust, will only last so long if they let those people walk and don't replace them. They're going to replace them.
Exactly.
Right. There will be plans.
That's what we were saying before. You got to hold judgment until you see the whole thing come out.
You know, I tweeted about this earlier. The replacements for Vereen grow by the day. Pierre Thomas, Reggie Bush, Roy Alou. You know, there's going to be a veteran out there that if you let Vereen go, you're probably going to bring that guy in. So it's not a loss. It's a how do you compare the transition.
I tweeted about Pierre Thomas last night. He'd be perfect. Another really.
Didn't they try to go get him a couple years
ago? I think
they
had some interest. I'm not sure they. I couldn't remember if they actually went after him, but
I
think
they
had interest.
But
he's that kind of guy.
He's
not just a pass catcher. He can run out of the backfield. As well, and he's another guy that's battled a lot of injuries, so there's a reason these guys are available, and that's the reason for him is durability. But I think that would make some sense too.
But he's different than just saying James White can do it. I mean, there's
yeah,
a big
but
difference.
he gives you some insurance if James White can't do it.
Right, White.
Yeah, that's true too. Okay, man, I got to run.
All right, thanks, Eldridge.
Keep on trucking, bro.
Let's go to Cecil in Mississippi. Hey, Cecil.
The diesel.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So, how are you?
Great.
Good.
You?
Good. Yeah. Love the show. This is my second time calling. I'm actually calling from Hines Community College in Raymond, Mississippi.
Okay.
Where Butler went.
But, nice. Did they put up a statue yet?
Dude, okay, so that's actually what I was going to tell you about.
Oh, okay.
The day of the Super Bowl, I walk in there and I have my jersey on and everything, and guys are like, if you guys are talking crap to me or whatever.
You had a Patriots jersey? A Malcolm Butler Patriots jersey?
Yeah, it was the day of the Super Bowl. I was really pumped. And I was, like, drinking in the middle of the day and stuff. I was pretty sloppy.
Hey, you're in college, but, you know, whatever. Day drink responsibly.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong
exactly.
with that.
Exactly. But they have, like, this big poster of him, you know, a picture of him in the Heinz jersey and the Pats jersey and all that stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool. And it turned out he ended up, like, winning the game for us. So it was awesome. But after that, like, they had the parade in Vicksburg. I'm sure you guys heard about that. I was going to try to go, but I wasn't able to. But I just had one question for you guys about the team. All right, so would you rather have Vince, Mayo, McCourty, and Vereen or some other pass-catching running back, like, on this past season's team, or Beasley, but, like, he's going to be better, like, you know that he's going to be better, Hightower, Harmon, and Revis? On the old team.
The
Does
that
make any sense? Like, which one would you choose?
I think the latter.
I don't get it. I'm not really understanding.
Can we
the,
go over that
question.
Again? So it's Vince, Mayo,
McCourty,
and Vereen, as opposed to
on this year's team. You talking about?
Yes, on this year's team.
Yeah, I don't really understand how we can include Revis because Revis was on both teams.
Well, I mean, I'm saying like if you pay for Vince, Mayo, and McCourty, chances are you can't afford Revis. Or,
I disagree with that. But
okay.
Disagree with your premise.
Well, I mean, Green's included in that, too, as well.
So, so I lose Vereen, McCourty, and Vince, and I get
Revis?
Revis, well, Revis, Hightower, see, to me, he said.
Yeah, but those guys are like, yes, I don't understand that. Those are all.
McCourty, though. We assume Harmon will replace McCourty. Hightower will replace Mayo, right?
I'll take the one with Revis. Is Revis?
Yeah. Whichever one has both of them.
Okay.
So, I want Revis. Yeah, I know. Based on the way he's posing it, I'll take the first one. Because I have Revis in Hightower. All those guys are already on. They're on the other team, too. Like, I'm not losing Hightower, Harmon, and Revis. If I have McCourty.
The first one, you.
Vereen's the only guy that's on is gone, based on the second one.
I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Revis is not on the first one.
Okay,
like, then I'll take the one that has
afford him.
Yeah. Now I'm with
I'll take
now
the one
I'm
that has
Andy.
Revis. Yeah,
I'm
okay.
with Andy. Then.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm
I'll
sorry,
take I'll
really
take whatever the option is that Revis is part of. I'm with Andy. I'll take that one.
Not quite ready to turn it over to Malcolm Butler.
No.
Okay. I've heard a lot of people saying that they were concerned about Harmon, but I'm not necessarily a fan, and I don't think Bill Belichick has, like, the best history with drafting secondary. But
that's true.
I think that he could get at least, what, 75% of his production?
I don't know. But if Revis and Browner are back, I'm open to seeing what Harmon can do. If they're not, then I'm not.
Then I'm a little scared, yeah.
Now, that said, if Revis and Browner are gone and McCourty's back there, I still think you stink again. If you don't have the corners, you don't have the corners. It's bottom line.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Cecil.
Cecil.
Nick in Wisconsin says we missed a big opportunity.
That's what a little effort will give.
My cookie came out fine, and it was moist, warm, tremendous. These are the best cookies we've had since the original white chocolate cranberry ones.
Well,
I better
get one of them before they go.
I like the ones we had yesterday better than the chocolate chips.
Well, you're wrong.
That's why he's an ACAP.
I like how you've brought that regularly now, the A-gap.
Nick in Wisconsin thinks we missed a big opportunity while we were talking about the Deflategate. We should have brought in Vito Stellino to talk about
we
it
should
and
have.
Get his opinion.
We could have had him on in a legitimate conversation, and he would have lost his mind.
It would have been great.
He definitely would
That's
have.
That's Golden Radio right
it
there.
Is.
Well
don't
done,
we play them this year?
I don't think it's too late, by the way.
No, I know, but don't we play them this year?
Yeah, because the Wells report will come out.
Jack's
and we should have Vito on.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's get him
Vito
on.
Vito in studio for the pregame social.
We should have him as a weekly
Dude could die.
A weekly piece. Nick also
you
said
say that. We'll have to get that, too excitedly. That, we'll have to get the paddles ready, you know, just in the back of the studio.
Nick also says, on to reasonable things, I'm getting really nervous about Revis and McCourty. Please help me feel better.
I can't. I think you should be nervous.
There's another fan panicking.
Well, I wouldn't be nervous until
he said he's getting nervous. Yeah. That's panicking?
Really like, nervous.
I think you should be a little nervous. Not going to lie to you. The closer
but,
you get to Saturday, yeah. when teams can actually now express how much money they're willing to throw at those two,
Fred,
the more
nervous?
Nervous you get.
No. I'm not.
So if you're not nervous, I don't see anybody being nervous.
Okay. James Pettigrew,
you're
the most
about
interesting
everything.
Patriots fan in the world, says, can we have a Hall of Fame presented by Fred at Patriots Place? It would just be an empty room, free entry for confused visitors.
You can take one of those storefronts up at Patriot Place. The Fred Kirsch Patriot
presented by Raytheon.
I still can't believe you don't think Vince Wilfork's a team Hall of Famer.
Oh, I do.
No, you don't really, though.
Russ in Westfield. Hey, Russ.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Good. I'm glad I didn't follow the physicist because I tried texting you to your landline.
Did you really?
There you go.
Yeah, and then it came back like, good. So then I called in to just leave a message. So we don't let you call the guy, so I was going to do that. I think, I'll give you to my second point. My first point is I think Vince will be back. I think there comes a point when, and I think Vince realizes it, when you've got so much money, and I'm not saying this is how much he has, but, you know, $55 million or $58 million, what difference does it make at this point? He loves it in New England with his kids. I think he'll be back.
You do?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
No, he's
I
not
think he's gone.
Back.
I don't even think he's going to be a New Englander. I know he said he's like, I think he means sort of.
In spirit?
In spirit. I think he's a Floridian.
Well, he does. Oh, well,
spirit and marketing.
He does have kids in school, so maybe he wants to see them through school. They're already entrenched here in school.
Yeah, one of his kids just won a state football championship
That's
at
true.
School.
And I think it's about time for a divide because he has, what, one more year?
Yeah.
At something like that. Zarian, I think there's a chance then, of that. I think there's a chance that he signs with Houston and plays two more years, and his kids stay here, and that's his, I will always be annoyed. And then when he's all done.
He could be thinking of his family.
Back
like,
down
I
to
want
Miami.
My family to still be accepted as Patriot, you know, royalty.
Yeah, that's
that's
another thing. I hadn't thought about that. You don't want his son playing next year and people like booing him because traitor.
Right. You know, I do think it's a
plus he's got big Y.
It's an incredibly personal situation, I think, with all players in all sports about how much is enough. And I never feel comfortable. I hate that line of thing, like 55 or 58 or, you know, how much is enough. Whatever the individual decides is important to him. I mean, I think that people look at it and say, well, he's comfortable here. And that sort of suggests that he can't be comfortable somewhere else.
And good. I also think that unlike other sports, you literally put your body and life on the line when you play football. So
for no guaranteed money.
But not even the guaranteed money. If I still think I'm worth something, I'm literally putting my body. It's not like baseball where, okay, do I think I'm as good as that DH? Yeah. But I'm not putting my life on the line to perform. In football, your risk, you're putting a big risk out there. And to do that, you should be compensated the way that that skill level is compensated in general across the board. You know what I'm saying? There's a value in that.
Now, I also don't criticize the players that do exactly what Russ said. And they say, I know I love it here, so I'll take $3 million less. I don't criticize those people either. I think it's a terribly personal decision.
But
on,
my point
on the part
is,
of those players.
If you have money, there, I wouldn't play for less than what I think for. I'd leave or I'd play what I can get elsewhere. In football.
Well, here,
in baseball, I would play for less because I'm just playing. I'm not going to get hurt. I'm not going to die in all likelihood. But in football, you're putting your body – it's not worth it to play for less than you think you're worth.
Happiness doesn't factor into it for you?
I'll be happy not playing.
No, but I understand.
Because I won't be happy playing for $1 million if I think I'm worth $5 million and I'm sore every week and it's hard to get out of bed and I'm doing this for less than what I'm worth.
So you'd always have that in the back of your mind. I'm not getting paid my value.
And
right.
I think Vince is one of those guys.
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. Is there another team that's going to give him a lot of money? That's my question.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Dockett just got $2 million cash and a 2-year deal for $7.5 million. I think he's going to get money.
Yeah, he'll get money. He'll get money.
I think he's going to get $3 million plus.
And I think Vince is one of those guys that wouldn't like playing for less than he thinks he's worth.
Right. And I don't think he should.
And I said less than he
thinks
he's going to
be a dolphin. He's
worth.
Well, I didn't think he's going to be a dolphin.
Here's the reason I call. I want all you guys' opinion on this, Fred, Andy, and all you guys. Tyler Gaffney, I had forgotten about this guy. What do you think? Is he just okay? Or what do you guys think of him as recovering from his injury? And it doesn't say what the injury was in Carolina, by the way.
It was a right knee. He blew out his right knee.
Well, he didn't blow it out.
LCL, I believe.
And it was a partial tear. Right. It was not a season-really-ending type injury. It was a season-ending injury because he was a rookie. Had he been like a fifth-year running back?
Like a rookie sixth round.
They felt like they could afford to do it, and nobody would.
If he had been like Le'Veon Bell, they would have waited for him to come back and carry the team.
Yeah.
Very productive at Stanford, good size, not overly quick, not overly fast, good power. This morning I went back and just looked at my notes a little bit on him. I thought he was a little loose with the football at Stanford, which, you know, Stephen Ridley, Bill Belichick, I don't know why we're going to go down that road. He's an interesting guy. I also look because he played baseball. He's like 24. You know, he's not a real young kid, too. You start to go down that road, but the body and the production are intriguing. You can't get past that. He's 220, and he ran for 1,800 yards at Stanford.
Now, the production is definitely there. I didn't love him at Stanford. I thought he was more of a plotter. I also think he's one of those college backs that had some wear and tear.
Oh, he had like 300 and billion carries.
Lots of carries and lots of tough, old-school, in-between-the-tackles
which
carries.
Is actually what I like about
him. Not making
a
lot of guys miss.
And he doesn't – you tell him where to go, and he's going to go there. He's not going to dance. He's not going to avoid contact. You're going to need to make a hole for him, but if you tell him to run to the A-gap, as Fred would say, he's going to the A-gap.
Yeah. The few times I've seen him in the locker room, he doesn't have that presence about him, like he's an inside-the-tackles kind of runner.
He's not as big eyeball-wise as he is on the field.
Well, he's short.
No, I know, but he's 220.
But he's 220.
Yeah,
and he doesn't look too.
He's got some rocks.
He doesn't look thick to me,
like Jonas Gray.
Jonas Gray looks thick.
Right.
I think LeGarrette Blount looks thick. Now he may have lost a little weight in the rehab process. I don't know.
I didn't even realize it was him when he first got here because I'm thinking, what position is this? Who is this guy? He didn't look like a running back to me.
Dan of Virginia, if I was the coach of the Patriots, Vince, Teddy, Troy Vrabel, Big Willie,
McGinnis, Rodney, and Stanley Morgan, among others, would still be on the team. Bledsoe and Grogan. Bledsoe and Grogan would have been fighting for the backup spot in camp. I would also have brought in Gino and his unit to challenge Vinatieri, as well as ride the elevators with Fred all day. This is not a team that would have won the Super Bowl. A big thank you to
Don't sell yourself short. You might have won six.
A big thank you to Big Vince for all he has done for the team, including the following. Air Vince, hitting Donald Jones, intercepting Phillip Rivers, and, of course, being the forklift for the immortal butt fumble. He will be missed on the field, and Bianca will be missed in the stands. What level of concern, if any, do you have about the moves made by the Bills? They are now the presumptive number two in the AFC East. He's asking that question, are they?
Well, they were number two in the AFC East last year. They were 9-7.
I think they're going to be battling the Dolphins for number two.
I agree.
In your opinion,
well behind the Patriots, both,
and well ahead of the Jets. In your opinion, who is the number three cornerback, potentially the number two on the roster right now? I'm not talking about who appears third on the official depth chart, but who do you think, in ability and production wise, with all the uncertainty about the defensive backfield, including Dennard's status going forward, we could be looking at an almost all new secondary next season, or things could remain the same as they are. How much of last season's secondary returns for this season?
I see. When he asked about the third corner, is he assuming Revis and Browner are one and two?
Yes, I think he's assuming.
Because I am.
And
if
he's assuming Arrington is gone or no?
Because I would say probably Arrington is your number three.
Yeah, to me it's not even a question. It's one, two. Those guys are one, two, and three.
If those three guys are on the roster, that would be my.
Used to be a question when Dennard was, you know, considered a respectable competitor.
And I'll see what happens during the course of the offseason with Malcolm Butler. But I know a lot of people have sort of vaulted him to a spot that I think it's going to be an interesting time for him. Andy, you think he has a chance to not be on the team.
Less of a chance of that recently.
Okay. I think it's going to be an interesting offseason for a young kid who has been pulled in a million different directions.
Mm-hmm. And has seemingly gone in all those directions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I thought it was a little much to and I don't fault him. Strike while the iron's hot, because I do think you could be working at a car dealership in Alabama.
It was also the first 2 weeks after the Super Bowl where he got most of those requests.
But I just thought it was
That's going to continue. He might not be asked to go to Disney World.
Land.
But he is going to be, I think, speaking in banquets down in Mississippi and Alabama he needs a very important offseason that we've seen this offseason program do wonders with people, right?
That's true, yeah.
And I think this is a really important one for a raw, athletic, but yet still raw second-year player. And I wonder how much of that he's going to be focused on. How many times do we talk about the rubber chicken circuit, Freddie, with the banquets?
Sure.
You win a Super Bowl, maybe he puts on.
I like the way you described that.
Yeah.
What? I like that. I just like that phrase, the rubber chicken.
I certainly didn't coin it.
I know, but I haven't heard in a while.
He mastered it. He goes to a lot of these banquets.
He was at some Jewish engagement recently.
I was last Sunday. Really? I got to speak at a school next week, I believe.
Wow.
But just little kids. Starting
your agent's
a newspaper.
Really working for you.
Yeah, that's true.
What do you get for these?
Was asked what my fee was for the Jewish breakfast that I spoke at on Sunday.
I hope you said $1,000.
No, I said no. I said no.
Right. You just do those out of the goodness of your heart.
I do.
Yeah.
I do, Freddie. I killed.
Kevin in Montreal.
All right, let's move on.
Kevin in Montreal, been a fan of the show for 2 years, longtime Patriots fan. One thought, one question. One, I hope Miguel, the cap guy, is getting some money for his participation in the show.
No, we're giving him a... pulpit.
He might get some money as a result of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he does take donations to help run his site and get him through the year.
Yeah. PatsFans.com.
Or PatsCap.com.
Oh, yeah. PatsCap.com.
PatsFans is where he does a lot of his blogging and things of that nature. But
PatsCap
is where you get all Miguel all the time.
Two, Brandon Marshall for a third and a fourth or some kind of package. Or Andre Johnson as a free agent. Which would you do?
I like Andre Johnson.
Yeah. I don't think Mr. NFL Showtime.
Very
a good fit.
No, here. I don't think so.
either.
He has outside interests, and they frown upon
yeah,
those.
Yeah, during the season, he has outside interests. During the week,
he'll be breaking down games on Showtime every week.
Would you be interested in Brian Hartline at all?
Not really, but sure.
I'd knock on his door. See what
as an upgrade over Tim's, sure.
Well, yeah. I'm talking about as another outside guy behind.
But
Patel.
I think he'll be looked at as something more than that. I'm not willing to go much more than that.
Looked at by who?
By
somebody.
By somebody.
Yeah, I get what you're doing.
Andre Johnson I'd be interested in.
He'd be looked at as a poor man's Decker.
Because Andre,
I'm not interested in that.
Andre Johnson, I think, is the ultimate try to sell him on the Junior Seau arrangement. Yeah. I just, a Hall of Fame talent who has been piddling away in Houston with no quarterbacks and bad coaching. Well, till recently, bad coaching. And
Billy O'Brien's a fine coach.
Right. I didn't mean to lump you in with the leather jacket wearing guy. But I just think he would be a good fit for that type of – and, you know, I didn't realize he had 85 catches last year. I thought he had fallen off a little more than that. Now I see why he said, they want me to do what, play 40 catches and barely play? I'm out. They told him 40 catches, you know. That's what they envisioned, 40 catches.
Tony writes in.
Villio's got a plan.
Will Fork.
I'm not sure I like it.
In Villio, they trust.
I think he might be a pain in the butt.
Who might be a pain
in the
butt?
I'd be a pain
Andre
in the butt
Johnson.
There, too.
Yeah, this is the first time that he's
I think that might be why they want to move on.
Tony writes in, Will Fork will be 34 midseason, cap hit of $8.9 million. Picking up option would lock them in for 2 years. Patriots had to do this.
Yes.
Football Outsiders notes that the Patriots' D-line was dead last on power runs. Football Outsiders defines power runs as percentage of runs on third or fourth down with 2 yards or less to go that achieved a first down or touchdown, and the Pats were dead last.
Thanks, Pete.
And that's why it made all the sense in the world to throw the ball on second and goal from the one.
They can't rank worse without Vince next year. Now, was defensive lineman Carl Davis out of Iowa even more of a priority? And he mentions Carl Davis out of Iowa. Is defensive line even more of a priority than guard?
I believe that's
I don't think so.
I still think offensive line, but I believe that Carl Davis, that's his name, right,
yeah.
from Iowa? Kiper, his latest mock? He was in someone's latest mock. I think it was Kiper.
Somebody. I don't know who it was, but
for the Patriots. I'm with Andy. Offensive line, to me, is the bigger priority, but you can fill these needs. You don't just have to do it in the draft.
And there are two spots that we've kind of deemed you can always get, D-tackle and guard. There's veteran fat guys available generally.
And I think that in the draft, the defensive lineman might be – I would feel better about using a first-round pick on a defensive tackle than a guard.
You know? I agree. Yeah.
But, I'm indifferent.
I mean, you sort of got
to get –
I don't
love either.
Yeah, I don't love either in the first round. I would have to agree with you on that. But you can also look in free agency and find – how did you deem it? A veteran fat guy?
Yes.
Yeah. You can find it. You can find these guys anywhere.
We got to let all these other dominoes fall first. If Browner and Revis are gone, we might want to draft a corner.
Yeah.
Marcus Peters.
Or a pass rusher.
I'm looking.
Now I'm seeing him back up the – I've seen people
draft
slot him
scout
to the
had
Patriots.
Him as a second round.
No, I know. Now I'm seeing him somewhere in the 12th to 13th pick of the draft.
Oh.
So
I hadn't seen him
not a
high.
Consideration for the Patriots, if that's the case.
The last I had seen, Waynes was the only one in the top half of the first round. Only corner, I should say.
By the way, just because one person says he could go there doesn't mean it's going
to happen. Yeah, and I think a lot of people had some ideas on him. Peters, he's the cornerback, Freddie, from Washington, who got kicked off his team for discipline purposes. A lot of people, I think, liked the Patriots for him because the Patriots are one of the few teams that can – make a pick like that with no repercussions, no fear. You know, if he's a bad guy, he turns out to be a bad guy, and it doesn't work out as the caller or the emailer a half hour ago, what's the difference? You're going to win the Super Bowl anyway.
Well, you can do that less if you don't have Revis and Browner.
I
know the whole theory that Bill's great and whatever he wants to do,
he can do. It doesn't matter. You're going to go anyway.
If you have Revis and Browner and draft that guy and he's a bum, okay, well, we tried to, stack it so that we're ready to replace those guys. But if those guys leave and he's the guy you tab to
kind of
be an impact, now you blew it. Narwhal.
Simon
narwhals.
In England writes in, did you hear the news from Tuesday after you guys finished the podcast?
No.
They introduced a new exercise for the combine next year, thanks to Andy, lifting cars off babies.
Who was Who was the guy you said you could see lifting a car off
Darnell
a baby?
Darnell Dockett.
They are, like you were going to say, they are thinking about changing some of the drills.
And I've even heard making guys wear pads.
Mm-hmm. That was the part I heard.
Yeah.
While running, pads on these guys.
Yeah. While running,
while
drills,
anything.
Pads.
All the drills.
Not 40, I don't believe, but talking about doing the drills and stuff in pads.
Which makes sense.
They're talking about moving it to prime time. They're talking about selling tickets. They're everything revolves around Paul.
Oh, so that wouldn't really affect us, though. That was you're just talking about the workouts.
Cuts into his TV viewing.
No, it wouldn't do anything for us. We'd still interview him during the day, and then they'd work out.
It's just the guy who sits here.
Really,
you want me to go next year?
Put that expense report in.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't get it back yet.
Clock is ticking.
Clock's ticking on that credit cycle. When
I was actually hoping to get that before the Baltimore trip.
Well, we've talked about you going and us doing radio because they do it.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
Well, you wouldn't last. You would be so overwhelmed at the combine, you wouldn't
I'd
know what
overwhelmed.
To do.
I'd be overwhelmed?
Yes, you would.
Oh.
I don't know if overwhelmed is the right word, but you'd run out of gas quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. Andy and Paul.
You don't have
Andy and Paul run out of gas quickly, and Eric, you ran out of gas with me that year, too.
Mm-hmm. You lose. Your attention span can be limited at times, and I think you would just start losing it. I do.
You get like that the first 2 days when they have all the NFL GMs and coaches talk, and it's like literally every 34 seconds, it's Gary Kubiak is at the podium. Podium A, and Jameis Winston is now speaking at Podium C, and you're like, I got to get
that. I'd hang around the bench press room, and I'd push the guy out of the way. I'll take this. Come on, let's go!
We're not allowed in there. I wonder who does that now.
Fred would be spotting guys.
I don't think the old guy, the guy who did it for a long time does it anymore.
The old Cleveland.
No, he went from Cleveland to
Arizona, I think.
Yeah, I don't think
sure.
he does.
I don't think he does.
Yeah. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
What's up, y'all? What's going on?
Hey.
Snowing. Hey, I got a quick question. The running back situation, have you all addressed Stephen Ridley yet?
No, not really.
Okay. Just his situation itself, I think originally kind of I would like to see one running back kind of emerge, you know, like one running back actually take the – I know it works, but I hate running back by committees like for a long time. I just wish that – you know, when I saw Blount – come in the game, I kind of knew what he was going to do. Vereen, less likely chance of him running sometimes, but, you know, he's going to do something funky, you know, try to catch a pass in the backfield or something. Stephen Ridley himself, I think, is very similar to sort of the Jonas Gray role or whatever it is. Do you all think that if they – I saw a report of him coming back on a one-year prove-it there, and he looked pretty good before he got hurt. He was like, he held onto the ball and everything. What would you all do with Stephen Ridley if you have Blount, Ridley, let's say Vereen, whatever happens there, and Gray? Would you move Gray back to the practice spot and then keep Ridley in? I mean, I know he's gonna have to come back and be a number two back now behind Blount, correct? Or what do you all feel about that?
No, I think Ridley comes in and can win his job back in camp.
Right. I mean, he's it'd be a not an uphill battle, but he's coming off an ACL, so there's that slowness, the recover, you know, kind of thing, and he's not. He's not in a role like Wes Welker where he's just going to be out there as the starter and working out the
fact
kicks.
That he heard it in, what was it, week five? When did he?
It helps him.
It helps.
Certainly.
Yeah, a little bit.
Certainly.
Yeah.
But there's also just, you know, Dominic Easley heard it in September of the, you know, and then he ends up on IR with a knee. So there's no guarantee.
Nope.
You can be Peterson or you can be Derrick Rose. You can, you know, they can rehab, whatever.
I don't have too much...
by the way, in the Malcolm Butler category. They could be working together at the car wash next year.
Absolutely.
And a fascinating story that would be. That's a 30 for 30 right there. Those two guys. What if I told you one guy rushed
hero.
For 200 yards and found himself on Sports Illustrated while the other won the Super Bowl for blah, 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 and a year later they were washing cars? I mean, neither of those guys. What are you guys doing?
Nothing.
We're watching the days
Nothing.
Of their lives.
Don't get distracted. Keep talking.
Jesus.
Keep talking. All right, thanks, Melvin.
About to go at it.
I don't have too much faith in. I mean, I'm not expecting Ridley to be back, and if he is, okay. If not, I'm not losing sleep
over
it.
Well, you hate him.
I don't hate him.
He had held on.
You made your greatest point ever, though, when you said it's less stressful when he's not playing. it's a great point. You don't have that thought of he could fumble on any play when
it's
he's
true.
Not out there.
It is true.
And I don't know if the coaching staff would consider that in any way. But it is dead true. You didn't think a fumble could be coming. A fumble could be coming. That said, he's also the last guy for them that was sort of the lead back that had the chance to be the guy like Melvin was just talking about.
Right.
Yeah, and now I also think that if you bring them all, I do think there's a very good chance that Ridley is re-signed to that one-year, quote, prove-it-to-me deal. You add him to Blount and Gray, and Tyler Gaffney, who we talked about a little while ago, I think you have a reasonable expectation that two of those four should be able to stick around and give you a semblance of a backfield. It might not be what people like Melvin want in terms of it is a little bit more of that committee feel.
Yeah, he wants that because one you can't guy rely, to be the guy.
You can't rely on Ridley, yeah, at least initially, to be the guy.
Speaking Gurley, of, what
would you do that?
What's
I
the
wouldn't.
Latest on Adrian Peterson? Is he going to stay or going to leave
They met
Minnesota?
Tuesday. The Vikings, Zimmer and Spielman, I think, or whoever, their contingent flew to the Dallas area or the Houston area, where the hell he is, yeah. And met with him. And it was a good meeting, but he still has some reservations. I don't understand his reservations.
Better chance of being a Patriot, the Dominican Sue or Adrian Peterson?
Peterson.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a better chance of those
thing.
Two? Yeah.
There's no shot in hell that they sign Sue to a $100 million contract.
No. Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could make the argument. I don't think there's no chance for either, but I think you can make the argument that the value comes into play for Peterson and certainly not for Sue.
And I'm not expecting either one.
No, I'm not expecting either, but
doesn't it make sense that, that Peterson stays in Minnesota?
I don't know.
Like they eventually
he had his
reservations. Eventually they iron this, but eventually they yeah,
they
but
didn't
I think,
support me I when I beat my son.
Yeah, I think there are feelings that are hurt, and I think that can be sort of ironed out. And
how can his feelings been hurt? You know what are hurt? His son's testicles and scrotum and ass that were bloody on the internet. Like, I don't understand the thought process of right. I'm hurt that right. you didn't whatever.
Well, it just goes to show that Peterson, I don't think he still thinks that what he did was wrong.
Which is why I don't
right.
want
he
him anywhere
he did
near
it.
Me.
Yeah. He
right.
I mean, there's no, but he just doesn't really.
That doesn't
think
make it okay.
No, it doesn't
no,
make
it
okay.
No, it doesn't. Of course it doesn't.
I wouldn't go anywhere near him.
He
personally.
Is
I wouldn't want him either.
Abysmal.
But someone
He's
will.
He's below Ray Rice, in my opinion. Far below Ray Rice. Ray Rice knows he did something wrong, has apologized, has tried. Sure, he did something really wrong, but. Adrian Peterson, you're right. He thinks beating his kid to a bloody pulp was not wrong. It's his decision as a parent.
Yeah, and
that's
not
saying, okay.
I'm not saying that Peterson is right for having his feelings hurt. I'm saying that he probably feels like Baltimore was much more publicly supportive of Rice than Minnesota was of him.
Well, you know, that might have also the order of operations there may have affected some things as well.
Right. If Peterson came before Rice, it'd right. been a different
the
story.
The landscape was in the midst of changing.
Again, I'm not suggesting that Peterson is right. I'm trying to put myself in his shoes and why he might have his nose bent out of joint.
Yep.
He did something wrong.
He's a coddled
and they,
punani who's lived
and
his
they
life
sort of
with
ran
everybody
from him.
Bowing down to him.
But they sort of ran from him.
I would have too. Toxic.
Okay, so if they ran from you, would you be happy about it? Or
if,
would you?
If I did something as heinous as
if
he did,
would you
thought
feel,
it was okay what you did.
Well, then I'd be a psycho and that's
well, okay,
the point.
Okay, but again, you're not putting yourself in his
exactly.
shoes.
Exactly.
Oh, I
like
am.
You just asked me you're
to
sort of
putting but yes, I'd be mad because I'm a psycho.
But you're sort of incredulous as to why he would be feeling the way he feels. And I don't really think you're thinking about it. I think that Peterson is wrong. I'm not trying to defend Peterson in any way.
But you know why he feels
But
that
I can
way.
Understand
so
why he feels the way he feels. Maybe they could have worked with him a little bit more and or at least discussed it. I thought that it was pretty quick from that Friday before we played them. To the Monday when they had the remember the wavering, there was a press conference that he was on the
right.
team, but he didn't act.
Right.
They like reinstated him,
and then
he was
reinstated.
Off and
I thought like, they handled it poorly. I thought,
but I think a part of that was the landscape of the NFL at the time.
That's true,
understood. But I think they could have handled it better.
All right, you know what could have been handled better? Him disciplining his child.
Yes, without question.
You are
Andy, what do you say? I mean, Fred. Exhausting.
Right.
He's exhausted.
All right, one more call. It comes from Chris in New Brunswick. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Fred, Andy, Paul, and Eric. How you guys doing?
What's good. Up, Chris?
Where's
New Brunswick?
DMAC with the franchise tag.
Eastern
what
Canada.
Do you see coming for us in the next little bit? Are we going to sign any defensive players in the future?
Yes.
Hopefully like, Darrell Revis.
Any big names?
Yes.
Darrell Revis.
Okay, I thought you guys were talking about Revis and Brown are walking. So.
Well, I think there's a chance that could happen.
Yeah, I mean,
too.
It could
there's
happen.
A chance, but I think they're going to re-sign.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I think that there's a better chance that the secondary is going to come back intact.
Okay.
Better chance and, it comes back intact?
Yeah.
I disagree.
Okay.
And another thing.
We're allowed to disagree.
We're,
it's okay.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Nothing. You're good.
Wanted to share with you guys the biggest offseason move that's happened so far, in my opinion. On March 1st, I welcomed my boy into the world.
Another one.
Wow, that's great.
Sunday, March 1st. So he's going to be a rookie this year, going to be watching the games with me.
What was going on 9 months
for the best team in the NFL.
I think it's clear that a very unscientific study has proven that we raise fertility.
Oh, you mean people that listen to
the show
are able to have babies?
Are no one else is having babies.
Have stronger sperm and eggs and all that stuff.
Okay. My wife loves the show. She listens with it when we travel up here in Canada, and she loves the show. She's laughing her head off.
That's a rarity.
So, anyway, another side note. Andy, how did you make out with such a huge head? My baby came out. He has 38 centimeters diameter head. The doctor told me, like, 26 weeks. Along, he's going to have a huge head. Oh. He came out. He definitely had a huge head. How did you manage?
Oh, man.
It's more out of his mother.
I was going to say.
What's the little guy's name?
She needs that vaginal rejuvenation.
All right. See, again, we knew what we were talking about.
Wait, don't go yet. I got a question for you.
Hold on.
Where's New Brunswick? Is that near Nova Scotia? Is that in that area?
Yeah, it's above Nova Scotia. It's actually right in, there's Maine and then there's New Brunswick.
Do children need a passport to get there?
We need a passport to enter the United States, absolutely.
Yeah, that changed with 9/11. You used to just need a driver's license. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But children,
and
too?
My wife,
they need it?
I'm not sure about
I was
children.
Thinking of making a short vacation
It may
up
not
there.
Be children.
I think so.
Yeah. My in order for us to get across the border, my wife's right across the border from Calais, Maine, is where her parents live. In order to get across the border, my son has to have a passport. He can't go across the border until then.
So just get one.
You have any... vacation recommendations? Any nice places up there? Anything that it might make for a nice little summer long weekend?
Go up to Hopewell Rocks. You watch the Bay of Fundy, the highest tides in the world. It is awesome. You can look up Hopewell Rocks.
Hopewell Rocks.
A-L-M-A. You'll be amazed if you like the outdoors and watching the effects of the water. I think the Bay of Fundy raises like 21 feet from tide in to tide out.
That's huge. It's like 3 feet down here or something.
Oh yeah, no. You watch the Bay of Fundy, the tides. It's tremendous, and you can walk in these caves where they've been eroded with the water. And when you come back, when the tide's in, you don't even know that they're there. When they're gone, they're like 40 feet.
Wow, that's really cool.
They're beautiful.
Wow. Well, thank you. Thanks
All
for
right,
recommending.
Chris,
hopefully,
thanks,
we're
going
to make it down Boston in September to watch the home opener.
Nice.
Who are we playing? And when's the schedule coming out, Eric?
Good, Chris. All right. Well,
Buffalo now. I'm on board for Buffalo.
That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will be back next week. We'll see you next Tuesday. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.